Expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes. I do. I'm sorry. It's the police.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, getting ready for the Dallas Cowboys, a Sunday 4:15 affair. And
how about them Cowboys?
That's right. Who was that? Was that Barry or Jerry Jones? I don't know. Anyway.
Want to try another one?
Who was it?
Jimmy Johnson.
How about them Cowboys?
Was that Barry, Jerry Jones, or Jimmy Johnson?
Jimmy Johnson.
Okay. Paul's here. Andy's here. Fred's here. Kevin's in the booth. And I want to start off the show. First, I'm going to give out the email, webradio@patriots.com, and the Ace Ticket Hotline phone number, 508-298-0398. Internet's back up. I got my email. Everything's good.
You're in your regular seat.
I have my phone console.
Andy and I have some news that we want to pass along, too. So
okay.
Before you do that.
Well, a topic.
After you do that, rather.
I was watching Tom Brady's press conference yesterday, and he caught himself saying something, and clearly, the moment he said it, you could tell he wished he hadn't said it, and he went on to another topic. And I'm wondering if anyone caught the same thing. He was talking about DeMarcus Ware and, you know, how great this guy is, and you always have to keep an eye on him, know where he is in every play. And he said, if we had a guy like that and then stopped and went on to another topic. And I'm wondering if anyone else caught that.
I didn't, but I didn't see
oh.
Brady talk yesterday.
We don't watch Brady anymore? Quarterback of the New England
Patriots? Do you want me to not do my other stuff?
Okay. It's on Patriots.com.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
That's where I saw it.
I wouldn't do that.
I wasn't there.
I wouldn't want to bring the organization to a halt by trying to watch video.
I was hauling
on
ass
the
down 495 going about 85 miles an hour trying to get back here when he was on. So.
I just wanted to.
Yeah, a little news?
No, not really news, but a very minor thing. One of our emailers yesterday, or maybe it might have been a caller, asked if the Patriots would wear white on Sunday against Dallas, and we didn't know the answer. I assumed that they wouldn't. I thought we'd wear blue. Evidently, they are going to wear white.
Sure.
And force Dallas to wear blue, according to Mike Reese, who
Which
got
is,
it from Todd Archer
yeah,
in Dallas.
The ESPN family of bloggers. Yes. And last time they wore silver.
Oh, okay. It was a silver game. So that's how we got around it. We made them wear blue that night because we wore the old dirty uniforms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dirty.
And those are gone. They're,
we don't wear those
we'll
anymore.
We'll never
right?
see those again. I think those Thank are out of the rotation.
God. Thank yeah. God. A couple other bits of news.
Yeah.
Philip Adams is back on the active roster. I don't know how. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a corresponding roster move for him to be on the roster. But he is back. He's in the locker room. And I posted on the blog, and I'm hoping this is a topic maybe we'll discuss. Gil Brandt did a pre-trade deadline, which is next Tuesday, story on NFL.com. He's obviously the analyst who was formerly the Cowboys personnel guy.
Yep, they call him the godfather of the NFL draft.
Yes, and he did a bunch of trades that he thinks should happen. And the New England Patriots were two of them.
Oh, yeah?
First being send a first-round pick or something to the Minnesota Vikings for the NFL's leading sack master, Jared Allen.
Why? Has Minnesota given up on the season?
Or? Well, I think that's what he's kind of posing, that they, you know, are in the rebuilding phase and
okay.
Patriots need the pass rusher, have an extra first round pick.
Would you do that if you were the Patriots?
I would. The issue I posed on the blog is based on what we talked about yesterday with the serious comments and potential to either later this season or next year return to the 3-4 as the base D, I don't think he fits that scheme. To me, if you make that deal, you're saying, okay, I'm staying with a four-man base front moving forward because he's a 6'6", 270-something defensive end who's always been a defensive end, and how good he is. I don't think you're trying to change what he's doing. He's had basically he's definitely a 10-sack guy, as I like to say, and has had many more than that. But it's fun to talk about. I mean, they have the extra first-round pick. The trading deadline's coming. Let's stir the pot.
Okay.
And the other part of the proposed trade that he thinks they should make is send Gary Guyton to the Philadelphia Eagles for Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, their extra cornerback kind of in that mix with Asamoah and Asante Samuel.
I like the personnel there. I hate what it would do to the Patriots' depth, though, because how many times have we seen Guyton have to play in the middle because and either Spikes or
he said
Mayo's
that.
Out?
He wrote that, you know, obviously the Patriots would have a depth issue with Mayo out now, and Guyton's been the fill-in guy, but he thinks the pass defense. I don't think that one makes as much sense, throwing a corner into the mix mid-season. I mean, they've looked like they're not on the same page back there as it is, and to add a new guy.
Yeah.
And I forgot to look this up. I think he may be in the last year of his contract, which would also be a concern with me. I don't know that I'd want to make that move for 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to how healthy Bodden and Dowling is. I mean,
well, that's the issue. You have three corners.
If they think that they're now healthy, then I wouldn't even consider that one.
I mean, you have a guy you pay like a starting corner in Lee Bodden, a Pro Bowl corner in Devin McCourty, and a second-round pick that I think you expect to be a starting corner in Rozai Dowling.
And by the way, another guy who has probably exceeded all expectations in Kyle Arrington.
Right.
Right.
I think he's played pretty well.
You shouldn't
Again,
need.
It's an expectation kind of thing. I don't think he's been at a Pro Bowl level, but for what I expect out of him, I think he's been solid as an extra corner.
Sure. I just think personnel-wise, yeah, you want to add a pass rusher. I don't see anybody who's going to be your elite pass rusher. Personnel-wise on a corner, I think you just want the guys you have to play like they should, like the expectations.
Just on the surface, would you give a first-round pick for Jared Allen?
Yeah.
I would.
You know when I once called him the rich man's Mike Vrabel? Yeah, he's better than that.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good. I think he makes an impact, not just in sacks. I think he is a constant worry.
And he brings some swagger
for offensive
to the team,
lines.
Too. He's got that.
I think that he is the focus of an offensive line, and he still gets pressure. I watched a lot of the first game this year when they played San Diego, and he was constantly giving Marcus McNeil a hard time. And Marcus McNeil is not bad. He's a pretty good left tackle. I don't know if he's, you know, one of those, you know, as good as he was supposed to be in terms of, you know, the next Jonathan Ogden or one of those guys. But he's pretty good, and Jared Allen gave him a lot of trouble.
How old is Jared Allen?
29.
Oh, he's still got 4 years left, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, you never know. But I think it would be, A, it fits your need. B, his personality, as you said, Fred, I think he would fit in with Logan Mankins and some of these guys. He has that hunter, farm boy, badass kind of mentality to him. Does a little MMA with Jay Glazer in the offseason. I think he would be an interesting fit here. My concern, though, is if Bill wants to go back to the 3-4, I don't think he really makes sense.
Well, that's why I just asked you on the surface. I didn't want to take any of that stuff into consideration.
Yeah, I would just take him now.
What the player is worth.
Could I make the defense better? I have an extra first-round pick. Sure. And a pass rusher, I tend to think you can get ready in a week or two to play. Whereas I think a corner, it's harder.
If you tell a guy, you know, this is what we're going to ask you to do, sure, you can get that guy ready.
In all likelihood, that would make Andre Carter better. That would make, you know, the domino effect, the attention that would have to be given. Now you're talking about potentially lining up Haynesworth, Will Fork, and Jared Allen all three of which theoretically require double teams, or you'd like to double if they're at their best, and we know you can't do that, so you'd probably get some matchups.
So, but where's Andre Carter in the mix?
He's your other defensive
end.
Oh, okay.
I don't think on any level he requires a double team. I was including the three guys that I think on paper.
So then Sean Ellis is out
Sean
of the
Sean Ellis
mix?
Wouldn't be well, getting the play time.
Sean Ellis doesn't play all the time anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all rotational guys. I mean, Sean Ellis might rotate inside with Haynesworth and Wilfork. I don't know.
That's, I think, the best spot for him. I think that's where he belongs.
This guy. Suddenly we have a great defense that doesn't have room to add Jared Allen.
See, I think Sean Ellis is a decent pass rusher and sub packages on the inside.
Right.
We're asking him to do something I don't think he's ever really been that good at on the outside.
Are you really contemplating... You
where would we play him?
Right. No, I'm just...
On the
32nd ranked defense in
Luke
the NFL.
Gorman.
8.5 sacks. He leads the league. I don't think we have room for
him. I'm just wondering who's the odd man out there.
Who cares? We'll figure that out. I'll tell you who the odd man is in
69.
Is it?
Jared Allen. I've liked him ever since we saw that picture on the Kansas City billboard when he was a rookie, I believe.
When his eyes were going seven different ways?
And that was pre a few DUIs.
He also has his own Apple iPhone app.
Yeah, that would be a concern.
What is it
picking
do?
A guy like
I don't know,
that?
It's a Jared Allen app. I don't know what it does. Maybe it's hunting.
The DUI should be a concern.
Yeah.
You know, you lose him for a year. All of a sudden, get a first round pick and does something stupid, and all of a sudden you lose him. You have to do some. You have to do some work there. We've taken on worse.
I was going
to
say we've taken on worse. Couple little notes out of the locker room. I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but Tom Brady continuing to fiddle with the helmet issue was in the training room trying on multiple helmets, air putting in, air putting out.
Really?
So continuing to tinker there.
But anyway, the big story in the locker room was Aaron Hernandez was eating chicken.
Oh, God.
He
has turned into such a media whore.
Was this a joke because of the Red Sox thing?
I can only imagine. He walked in eating it,
but he loves the fact that they follow him. That, you know, the whole knee thing a couple weeks ago, he went to the training room door, and he circled once, back around. And then he pretended to go in again and circle back around again and kind of strutted to his locker. And then he was eating the chicken, and... He was funny, I'll admit it. I thought he was an a-hole coming here. He's grown on me a little bit. And what really got me today was he was kind of an a-hole in the interview, like playing around, but you know, kind of that Vrabel thing. Is he being an a-hole or is he being funny? And then somebody said, thanks, Aaron. He goes, no, thank you. And it seemed sincere the way he said it. But he joked. Somebody, Mike Giardi, actually asked him, could you play? You can do interviews while eating and holding chicken. Could you play? And he goes, no, I don't want to drop any more touchdown passes.
I heard him say, I'd like to blame the knee brace for dropping the touchdown pass.
Oh, you were in the locker room?
No, I was just reading all the tweets.
Oh.
Speaking of tweets, Ocho Cinco's back on the platform.
Yes, he's tweeting again. I think he was
used a bad word, which is not like him, in a tweet.
Yeah, but I actually liked the tweet. Somebody said you have no touchdowns. He said I dropped it. Pay the bleep attention. I like that honesty.
He said, his first tweet was, what have I missed since that effing catch or effing ball in Buffalo?
I've seen F-bombs on his
tweets. Oh, you have?
He does it regularly.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
all
he
the
said,
time.
I thought he was...
Play the F attention.
I thought he was very genteel.
No.
Sometimes he goes through phases.
Yeah. What?
Have you seen this trade proposal that Schefter is reporting?
No.
The Bills get Reggie Wayne.
The Bills get Reggie Wayne
for a fourth round draft pick.
Wait, is this a report or is this a Gil Brandt?
Another one with the Jets getting Robert Mathis from the Colts.
Oh, I see that. That's on.
Looks like the Colts are in a
potential trades before Tuesday's deadline. So
I need to know what this is. Is this what Gil Brandt did and just pairing need with availability and? Or are these actual trade
Miami
rumors?
Gets Kyle Orton, and the Broncos get a fifth round. These are potential.
Yes, proposals.
But are they proposals that the teams are proposing or that Adam Schefter is just pulling out of his a-hole?
I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's kind of a big deal. Like, I don't think the Patriots and Vikings have had one discussion on Jared Allen. It's a nice talking point. My guess is there's not been any talking between the teams. It's a good media creation. If these are media creations, okay, they're just fun to talk about, and when no other trades go down, we'll say, okay, let's move on. Clearly, NFL writers are trying to ignite a baseball-like week before the trading deadline.
Yeah.
Let's bring all these deals
and
out.
After last year, when the Patriots shocked everybody with the Randy Moss trade, I think people are a little bit more aware of the trade deadline.
I need to know if these are actual.
Did you hear of the movement that's going on in some of the cities that don't look like they're going to have a good season this year? Suck for luck.
Yes. And I wanted to get to that, too, because I saw Peter King write something about this. And there are St. Louis and there's another team, St. Louis and maybe Carolina. Two teams that wouldn't obviously take the quarterback. but they should still, you know, be consider that a really valuable pick. And Peter King says, I wouldn't take less than 3 first round picks for it. And I was thinking to myself, who's going to give 3 first round picks for the number 1 overall pick? And am I that out of touch that that's what's going to happen? Because I wouldn't even contemplate 3 first round picks. So, for a guy who's never played.
But wait a minute. If you knew that Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady
you don't,
at
though,
the time,
but
would,
you don't.
I know, but would now would you have?
But you also
with hindsight.
In hindsight, when Tom Brady was 28, I would give 3 first round picks for Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning. Yes, but you don't know that when the guy's never played.
I know. Plus, I know. I'm just wondering if you think that anybody.
No.
Ever,
I would. Tom Brady in his prime, I absolutely would have given 3 first round picks for.
But the dumb part is, if you ask for too much. And people know you can't possibly take him, then the number 2 pick just becomes valuable, and they just make
exactly
the trade, right. Because if you ask for a King's ransom,
I think St. Louis
get.
Was one of the teams because you know he was figuring. Well, they're not going to take him. They have Sam Bradford,
right.
So they're not going to take. I think it might have been St. Louis and Carolina that he you know sort of threw out there. If they end up with the number 1 pick, they're not going to take a quarterback with their recent – they're the last 2 number one overall
picks.
If
I'm St. Louis and I really, really believe in Andrew Luck, I'd take him anyway and then trade Bradford and eat that money.
But then you can't get anything for Bradford.
I trade him.
You can't get anything for him if you're going to do that. You have to trade him.
If you if you draft Andrew Luck, everybody goes, well, you have to trade
him. You have to trade him.
So I'm not giving
I'll just
you
wait
three
out.
Ones. Right. You
I
tie your own hands.
No, I guess so. But I think, I think there'd be some type of market for Bradford.
God, yeah.
Oh, there'd be a huge market for him, but I'm saying the Rams wouldn't be in a position of power.
Well,
trading.
What you have to do
got luck,
is trade him before the draft. In that timely, everybody thinks you're working on deals to trade the pick.
I'll give
and then you swoop in.
I'll give you Bradford for 2 ones or something like that, and I'm going to take because I want to take luck.
Right.
But if I don't make that deal, then I don't take luck.
Right.
You know, that would be a little bit more power for St. Louis if they wanted
then
to do
that. If that gets out there, then you got a Denver situation where now your starting quarterback knows
good
you wanted to
too.
Trade him. And,
good point, too. Know. That's what they did to Cutler.
Right. So, speaking
Sam's
of that,
not an
John Fox has announced actually early this week that Tebow will be the starter this week.
I'm really excited about that.
I am, too.
Because I can't wait for him to just fail miserably.
I can't wait for him to succeed.
He can't.
See,
throw.
He's going to fail, and I'm going to say I told you so, but I'm not rooting for him to fail because I really am trying to not take that route and root for him to fail.
I'm not. I just
did you see they had a special
I worry
on last
about
night,
I worry about the perception
Tebow
of what he does.
Meet up last night
like last
ESPN.
Week when he
I'm
goes
just
4 for 10
talking and see if Paul keeps talking too and see which one of us
you'll win.
I did.
Now we have silence.
Now Paul
I said what I had to say.
Paul thinks they made a big deal about him going 4 for 10 last week. Andy, what were you saying? Never mind. All right.
Just to fill in what I was actually saying, not what Fred said, is that I wonder what the perception will be when he does fail, because it seems like no matter what he does, he gets credit for, quote-unquote, sparking the team.
Well, there was no doubt that when he came in, that team played better.
Right. Okay.
Well, why do you think they're starting him this week?
Because the other guy stinks.
No, because he came in.
The other guy is 11 and
Fox
25 in his last whatever many starts.
Saw something in his team that wasn't happening.
He has to make the move.
I don't think so.
The other guy has won 11 out of his last 35 starts. Yeah. They have to do something.
We'll see. I think he's going to be okay, just like I thought, you know, Wes Welker would be okay, and I had to stand up for that.
Okay.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the
Wait
email.
Wait a minute. Who said Welker would not be okay?
Maybe people in this room.
No one ever said that.
I thought they overpaid for him, but I didn't think he was Tim Tebow.
Everybody thought he would be an adequate
slot receiver. I don't think Tim Tebow can play NFL quarterback.
There's a huge difference.
Listeners, back me up here.
I just told you what I said about Wes Welker.
All the listeners.
I thought they overpaid for him.
Right. You are an idiot.
That doesn't mean I didn't think he could play the NFL game. I don't think Tim Tebow belongs on an NFL field at quarterback.
And I went so out on a limb to say that I think this year, when he first got here, he will be a valuable member of this offense. You guys scoffed at
That's
me.
Not what
scoffed
we did.
Scoffed at
see,
me.
No. See, I'll even give you that if it makes you feel better. I don't think Tim Tebow can play NFL quarterback.
No, I know
so
that.
So don't try to equate the two.
See, and I think that he can play that position, not in the, typical way.
Successful sense.
No, I think he can.
Not in the typical, throw the ball accurately and complete
passes. But
that's
all I'm talking about. Do I think he can run around and be a freak show? Sure.
I don't even think
he can.
Can
he win football games?
No.
See,
you
that's
can't
where
win
I
doing
disagree.
That. You
I
can't just, win doing that.
I disagree. I think he can win football games in the NFL. Well,
that's why Paul's happy, because we're going to get an answer.
If Doug Flutie,
but see, we're not, because even when he loses, people think that he sparked
Paul,
the team.
You're utterly being disrespectful to Doug Flutie's ability to throw the football right now.
If Doug Flutie can come in the NFL and win football games, so can Tim
Tebow. I don't think that he really did a great job of doing that.
But he's
either.
A far better passer
and he
than
he was far
Tebow
more
ever
accomplished
will be.
As a passer.
He had a winning record.
Tug Flutie did.
So, I think Tebow can succeed. We'll see.
I think that he will be the perception will be that he succeeded, because last week the perception was he succeeded.
No, the perception will only be that he succeeds is if he wins football games.
Yeah, see, to me, I want him to, I don't think Trent Dilfer succeeded in that regard either, but he won a Super Bowl. I want him to be, partially responsible for the win. Not running around with the chicken with his head cut off, and then all of a sudden the defense comes out and strip sacks Philip Rivers, and the game gets closer than it needs to be.
Did Rex Grossman succeed in Chicago?
No.
Okay. He won football games.
Yeah.
A lot of them. 13 of them, I believe, one year.
Why? Because Mark Carrier or Brown or whatever the safety was at the time was making huge plays.
I believe you don't even think he could be as good as Rex Grossman was.
Oh, I don't think he's anywhere near as good as Rex Grossman.
Right. He's not.
Not even in the same league.
Well, they are, technically. But
both played for Florida, too.
Yeah. All right, 5-8.
Aaron Hernandez was jacked up about that, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Big Tebow fan?
I mean, you're going to support your guy.
Of course, he's his guy.
But if you could get the truth serum in him, I don't know if he'd say. He's now played with Tom Brady. He knows what an NFL quarterback looks like. You think in his head he's saying, yeah, that's the same thing Tebow does.
And just to be clear, if he goes out and wins games, just like I said with Welker, I'll admit I was wrong.
I won't.
I think he's a wiener.
That is also true. Indy won't.
If he's running around like a fullback and the
saying
defense
if
is playing well, then I'm not going to say I was wrong.
No, I'm saying if he's making throws that win football games, I'll admit I was wrong. If he's playing quarterback at an NFL level, I'll admit I was wrong.
I'll let you know when I'm wrong.
I hold that card. That is true. But what he did last week, going 4-for-10 and a guy, jumps over Brandon Lloyd jumps over three guys and makes a one-handed catch on the sideline, one of the best catches I've ever seen in my life. That was one of his four completions,
by
the way.
That was an amazing catch.
I'm not considering that NFL quarterback play.
Yeah, but it's an intangible that he brings
exactly
from the leadership.
And that's why I can never win this argument, because that's the pro Tebow argument. It's not something you can really identify.
Well,
it's an intangible.
If they lose,
it's a spark.
Paul, you'll be right.
Well, they lost last week, but he was considered a spark. He had a chance. He had a chance to make a 2-point conversion to tie the game. What'd he do? He pooped himself.
All right. We'll see. We'll see how it works out.
But this is my point, though. No matter what, the pro Tebow crowd will point to some sort of intangible.
Well,
but
I will be
that all the rest of us won't have seen.
Paul, I'll be objective about it. I'm the only one you need to worry
about.
You're
nothing if not objective.
That's
I know.
That's right. 508-298-0398, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Paul was on with Felger in Maserati yesterday. He did very well, Paul.
Oh, thanks.
You fit in well with them.
Thanks. I get the nod of approval. Oh,
what's going on?
I mean, I know you talked a lot about Red Sox, but it was good.
I asked them anything about Patriots Cowboys you want to get into,
and they go, no. Yeah, it was a big Red Sox day yesterday.
Paulie, Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly.
So... All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, shall we? Chris in Florida is hanging on. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here, too. What do you got?
Not much, man. I'm curious. Do you guys see the Patriots going for anybody, any trades that you guys foresee?
I don't foresee any. But, there's all this talk out there about Jared Allen and a first-round pick that was put out by Gil Brandt. Look, I'll put my GM hat on. I think they could use a linebacker if possible. I really defense, if they could get it, some help on defense, I think, maybe that's what they would consider. Other than that, I think they're all set, Paul?
Yeah.
Andy?
I think they're fine at linebacker. I mean, you have Dane Fletcher, you have Gerard, which, he probably won't be back for a few more weeks. Gary Guyton is okay. Brandon Spike, he's okay. I think at linebacker, I think you're great. I'm looking at the defensive line and how they do not have any pressure at all. And I think they are in desperate need of a defensive end. So to get Jared Allen, and he's 29 years old, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, you know, again, that's the guy that Gil Brandt pointed out. And I'll go back to the how I started the show. Yesterday in Tom Brady's press conference, I'm sure it was a slip of the tongue, but they were talking about DeMarcus Ware and how you have to keep an eye on him in every play. And Brady said, you know, if we had a guy like that on our team, and then stopped himself. So you know what's on his mind. And if it's on the quarterback's mind, you know what's on everybody else's mind, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, maybe Gil Brandt's onto something. Who knows? You know?
I don't think so. I think he's throwing mud at a wall.
I think Andy's point about the positions is really relevant, because I think you can get a guy like Jared Allen who can come in, and I think you can succeed with that, because you're just asking him to go after the quarterback.
Right.
To bring in a linebacker, I would think there's so much more at work.
Yeah, there's a lot more to
get
learn.
A guy. Now, I don't think, you know, I think that they need a lot of help at linebacker. I really think they only have one legitimate answer at linebacker when he's currently injured. So, but I just don't, you know, Aaron Curry just got traded. I know a lot of people were talking about him from Seattle. He went to Oakland, right? I think a guy like that would have made sense, but I'm not sure. I think Andy's point is accurate. I'm not sure what you could expect from him coming in the middle of a season, not knowing what the new team is doing. That's a hard position to do that at.
And is Lofatutupu done? I mean,
that's
the
word is it's physical with him. He's not physically ready to play.
Okay.
I don't know if that's accurate. I didn't talk to him or anything like that, but that's
local kid.
That's what people say.
What else you got, Chris? Is that it?
Yeah, man, that was it.
Okay, well, thank you. All right, Chris from Florida, wondering about trades. It would be great if you know, the trade deadline for NFL could, you know, be anything like baseball, where, you know, not only it's just talk, but there's some action.
But we all know it's the scheme thing. It's the how much can a guy help me if I bring him in now?
Yeah, but I think, you know, if you got a running back or if you
there's positions.
You know, or a guy that does one thing like a, you know, Jared Allen.
Wide receivers have done it in the past. Mm-hmm. I think Chris Chambers was a good addition for the Chargers several years ago at the trading deadline. Going back a ways now.
I'm not sure we want to be adding a wide receiver. We've had a tough stretch here adding receivers, picking up the offense quickly. Ocho, I think, was in a fight with who's his famous lady friend?
I don't know.
What's her name?
I don't know.
It was in quite an emotional...
I wanted to say Hoops, but I think that Shaq's...
conversation. He had his like headset in and was talking kind of loud, and you never know if people are talking to somebody in the locker room or...
Right.
He was apparently on the phone, and he was a little animated.
There was a Wired Up thing on NFL Films. It's on NFL.com right now with Vince Wilfork. I guess he was wired up for the game.
Yeah, I just saw some clips of that.
And there's one clip where Wilfork's on the sideline and he's talking to Ocho, and he says to Ocho, "You're almost there. You're almost there." You know, so it's not just us that talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, they're well aware. They're human beings. They know what's going on.
And that's a major thing right now. Haynesworth and Ocho, it's been five games now. There's a little bit of a sample size there. That's a major topic, you know, how those two high-profile acquisitions are fitting in so far.
And if he's almost there, then where's there?
I know they're not going to say it, but I'd rather the impression be that he's not even close.
Right, because the there that I wanted was like 85 catches, I don't know, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns.
But it's not like they targeted him in the last game and he didn't catch it.
No, he jumped offside.
Yeah, he caught what came his way and he jumped offside, which he's done. This is the third penalty he's had.
Hernandez did it too. Yeah. I'm still going to continue to beat that point home.
Yeah, the point is, though, you would hope to have him be a bigger part of your offense. You should be targeting him a little bit more often than...
Yes.
Know. It's not about... I really only think he dropped one pass. I mean, it was a big one, but... It's not that he's not catching the ball. It's that he's not being targeted very often. And the inference there, and I think it has to be pretty accurate, is that he's not either where he's supposed to be or not getting open.
I mentioned that Jared Allen has an app, and of course Strippers sends us all the features of that app. There's a history of all American flags. There's been more than one flag, so be a real American and learn all of them. Mullet generator, if you're not cool enough to have a real one, add one to your own pick and send it off to all your friends. You'll get the idea of how cool you can really look.
Oh, we got to have a Paul Perillo mullet.
Pictures of me hunting and playing football, body slamming quarterbacks. Pictures of the mullet militia. If you have a sweet picture of yourself rocking a mullet, email it to jared@rocksoftware.com, and if it's cool enough, I'll put it in the app. Ask me questions, and I'll try to get back to you. Just make sure they aren't dumb. Twitter app to use to tweet.
Imagine
I don't know
like
what
an
this
NFL
means,
coach.
But Rock Software said it would be cool. I don't use Twitter either, or yet. The Lodge info. Check out my restaurant when you're in Arizona. The Blue Cheese Bacon Burger is the bomb. Check out my favorite songs and apps. Real music right there. Tips for amateur hunters. Sound bites that you can only use to crank call if you're at the library. And got some other stuff in here, too, for you to check out, including videos in our football schedule with scores and all that stuff. So that's the Jared Allen app. I hope he's not charging for it.
It's nothing like the Patriots Daily app on the iPad.
Patriots Football Daily.
Patriots Football Daily app right on the iPad. Sorry.
Web radio at patriots.com. Email is 508-298-0398. How was the locker room today? Was it busy? Quiet?
It was middling. I did a getting to know Gerard Warren. Hernandez was the show stopper of the day with his little act with the chicken and his jokes and everything.
Evidently, the presence of Philip Adams had everybody off.
Philip Adams was there. Devin McCourty did a press conference at the podium. I was not at that. I was in the locker room. Rob Ninkovich had a large huddle around him. I'm trying to think. That wasn't an overly...
Who did we interview for the PFW TV show this week?
Andre Carter.
Oh, that's good. Did you do that, Paul?
Thanks. I did.
He was good. Yes, the interview sucked.
Yeah, the interviewer wasn't so good.
No?
No, I asked some good questions. I just can't speak. I mean, questions were fine this week. I just can't talk.
Fred knows how that is.
Right, because Andy's so perfect.
He is. He is.
It's unbelievable.
It's time for you and I to join allegiances now.
Certainly not. You should have seen how many takes it took me to do From the Heart this week.
Yeah, he had a struggle on From the Heart.
I had one of your things. I had like just a blockage because I had to set up a Belichick quote, and it was the one where he said the hardest part with DeMarcus Ware. They asked me, he starts with blocking him. So I needed to lead into it right or it wouldn't make sense, and I just couldn't do it. And then people started coming in the lobby. There was a large group, and I just got more and more flustered. I started sweating. I just couldn't do it.
Speaking of Ware, how good is Anthony Spencer? And, you know, can you afford to put too much attention on Ware to, you know, and allow Spencer to run free?
Well, not run free, but yes, you can afford to put attention on Ware. He's the guy.
Yeah.
He's Batman, Ware. Spencer is Robin.
So do you
think Bill said yesterday.
I think Spencer's pretty good, but yeah, not in.
He's fine.
Not in Ware's class.
I mean, as Bill said yesterday, he thinks it's a fair comparison to compare Ware to Lawrence Taylor, who's pretty much considered one of the greatest football players to ever play the game and the greatest outside linebacker, revolutionized the position.
Now, I don't think these guys are as good as, say, Freeney and Mathis as a tandem. Now, I think Ware is better than either one, Freeney or Mathis, but I don't think Spencer is as good as the others. So, but it is kind of like that. They have the bookends, you know, Merriman and Phillips back in the day in San Diego. They're two guys you gotta be aware of.
Carter and Ellis.
But DeMarcus Ware is the guy you have to double or chip or do. I think you can get by with whoever's the tackle on Anthony Spencer.
Okay.
And you gotta hope he does a good job.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get to some of these emails. Paul's favorite emailer, William Berry, writes in, says, while watching the PFW TV show on CSNNE, I came up with the following observations and wondered if you think this is accurate. Fred is like Belichick, inspiring, even egging on greatness in all his players as they do their job. Andy is like Brady, quickly analyzing a situation and doing what is appropriate or inappropriate if distracted because analyze has anal in it. Paul is like Wilfork and how he takes up space. Okay, I can put a check on the fat joke done today part of my list. Seriously, Paul occasionally does something remarkable. And Eric is like Taylor Price, not really there except in spirit, which is to say, not relevant. So that's William Berry's analysis of who we are on our TV show.
I think it's spot on, don't you?
Sure. Yep.
You know, we often ask, what is Wilfork doing? How well is he really playing? And
is Wilfork having a good season?
Really? That's what we ask?
Is Vince Wilfork having a good season?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I was watching.
I guess I was wrong. Maybe we do ask.
No, I was watching that same Wired Up thing with, on NFL Films, and looks like he got handled at the line of scrimmage.
That's what I.
Mostly by Mangold.
I mean, he's considered an all-pro or Pro Bowl defensive lineman. So he's in the conversation. It's kind of like our Gerard Mayo, Patrick Willis thing. You know, Vince will fork Colodi Nada. I mean, they're supposed to be in the same conversation. One guy you say, how's he doing? The other guy, everybody's talking about how he's dangerous, unblockable. You know what I mean? But I don't know what he's being asked to do either. So,
and you don't know how much help Wilfork is getting. Nada gets help, obviously, right, from other guys around him, Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis, that take the heat off of him.
But I think it's a fair
might be all Wilfork.
I think it's a fair question. When you are a $40-plus million player,
yeah,
there's expectations with that. And we've seen enough nose tackles, and this is a different scheme, and he should have more opportunities and all this, and I don't know. What has he done?
Yeah, I think Nada,
besides pick off passes.
I think Nada gives right, more help to the guys around him than he gets. I mean, there's no disrespect meant to Suggs or Ray Lewis, but at this stage of Ray Lewis's career, I think Nada's giving him more help than he's getting from Ray Lewis.
That's probably accurate. But, I mean, that's what you're talking about with Wilfork. You're talking about he should be in the elite class. And elite guys, how does Hernandez put it? Big-time players need to make big-time plays.
Yeah, while having no problem putting himself in the big-time category.
Aside from the interceptions, what are the traditional types of big-time plays he's made this year? I don't know.
Right. Dan in Vienna, Virginia says, this year there's been a lot of statements from fans and media that the Pats D needs improvement, but little substantial practical discussion of how that can be done.
That's a great point.
While positions and needs may be identified, I don't hear much in the way of specific names and deals suggested to fill those roles. Even in the last PFW blog, Andy provides a nice analysis of Gil Brandt's suggestions regarding Allen and Rogers Cromartie. Andy's reasoning for ultimately dismissing the idea is sound, but again, there's no suggested course of action we should take. Which players are out there for which the players could make a reasonable play with a deal that Bill Belichick is actually likely to approve?
None.
None, you say?
Yeah.
I think we just don't know about it.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, Fred.
Yeah.
It's impossible. How do you know?
But I don't think that, a lot of good players aren't going to be available. He's not going to necessarily be willing to invest in some of the big players that maybe could be available. You don't make scheme-changing huge moves at this point in the year. That's done in the draft, and that's done in free agency. I think for the most part, you're stuck with the talent you have.
Yeah.
And the other issue is, part of it is, where do you think they need to add? Okay, pass rusher. You need an edge guy. It's the same thing we said they needed going into the offseason last year. We had hopes that for a 1 year, Carter would be that guy. Some people think he's close to being that guy. I haven't really seen him be that close to being that guy. Safety. We'll target that position. The other issue is the guys that you have. As I said, at cornerback, you should have three very good cornerbacks, or at least two good cornerbacks and a young developing. Well, what have we seen that leads you to believe that's true? They're just not good enough right now, right? And you're not going to trade for a number one corner because McCourty's not good enough. For good or bad, he's your number one corner, right, for this year?
No.
I don't mean to say there's nothing that can be done, but on some level, there's nothing that can be done.
I do think the trading deadline, and Fred, you made mention of this earlier, I think that we're trying to sort of fabricate this excitement around this date that I really just don't think exists.
Right. And it's football.
It's just too hard. You'll get an outlier like the Randy Moss trade and like some others. I just don't think you're going to get a lot of those.
But even that, the Randy Moss trade, how did that work out?
It was a low-impact trade on both sides.
Right. It didn't do anything. Right. The Patriots stayed the best offense in football, and the other two teams didn't do anything.
Yeah, that wasn't a, we need to do this to upgrade our team type of thing.
Derek Mason was traded because the Jets clearly didn't want him anymore because he was a clubhouse issue.
He's not going to be a big impact player.
Aaron Curry,
now.
He didn't play. He got benched. He wasn't the starter anymore. Is he going to go in and revolutionize the Raiders' defense? No. He's just a guy.
I'd also like to know how they get our food here. Does it come via Cleveland? Because my meatballs are cold.
Mine's fine.
Mine's fine. Of course, it was a cold tuna sub.
So. Well, I have a burger. How do you get a double burger?
Is anyone listening to me?
Nope.
No.
He's flirting with Lindsay.
My balls are cold here.
Fred has cold balls.
Let's see. Mike.
His meatballs are cold, Lindsay. It's not dirty. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Mike in Florida says, I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a total loser.
He didn't ask you to cup them and warm them for.
Beaver Stadium.
Mike says from Florida, I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a total loser or football fanatic and still have dozens of old VHS tapes of Pats games dating back almost 30 years. I used to watch every play several times to see how the pros played my position, linebacker, and to play GM in my fantasy world. I DVR'd the Jets game in HD and would like to share some observations. Though Haynesworth is a pop, in his parlance, a piece of poo, on several occasions, he did his job. On the last TD home score, Haynesworth was literally triple teamed at left end while Vince was handled one-on-one by Mangold with a tiny chip by Tomlinson. By the way, Tomlinson was incredible in blitz pickup. More than once, he would take out more than one guy. On the play that Haynesworth was cramping, he was on the nose and assisted on the tackle 9 yards down the field. I would call that decent hustle. On the last drives by the Jets, our D-line was stunting the nose around right end several times. Vince looked slow and tired. Albert actually got a good hit on Sanchez just after the release. Fat Albert played nose on several snaps, so there must have been more than just position issues in Washington.
Yeah, he was playing nose in a 3-4 in Washington they wanted to play.
Right.
When you have four-man fronts, you have a nose tackle a lot of times. You have a guy over the center.
Spikes,
you got your unders and you got your overs.
Spikes really does not look like he belonged on the field. He was horrible. I see no instincts there at all. On 1/3 and 6, he and Guyton line up 4 to 5 yards off the ball. Guyton moved laterally with the tight end. Spikes moved backwards 7 yards. The receiver caught the ball at 5 yards and was tackled at 7. This was either a lack of awareness by Spikes or poor coaching. We don't know. They both had safety split behind them. If he would have dropped only 1 or 2 yards, he makes a tackle before the first down or breaks up the pass. But it is a good example of why we are still 26th on third down D. Hard to tell from TV how Hedebo did, but he certainly was better than Sergio Brown. But I can't for the life of me believe either are better than Sanders. Belichick must have not be forgiven for this crazy move. Carter is a force against the run and hustled in backside pursuit. Why can Wade Phillips turn Mario Williams into an outside linebacker, but we can't do it with anyone in 10 years? I know he is an uber talent. He is uber talented, but he is also not a prototypical body type and has never played the position in his career. And Santonio Holmes is an outstanding run blocker. So there's some good analysis from Mike in Florida.
Pretty sure if you gave Bill a talent like Mario Williams, even if not ideal, you know, DeMarcus Ware, Julius Peppers, one of those top 10 type athletic freaks, he could. The problem is the closest we've come to a top player is Cunningham as a second round pick. It's Crable. It's these guys who maybe could. It's what we've been bitching about for years now. Quinn. I wanted him to go get a top 10 potential talent and see what he could do with it. He's never tried.
Yeah, no, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, Mario Williams is number one overall pick. So, I mean, and he said that. Is it Mike? Was it Mike in Florida?
Mike in Florida.
You know, he called him uber talented. Well, that's kind of answering your own question. And Mike's right. I mean, when you have a guy like that, I think you can probably have a little bit more flexibility than you can when you're taking someone in the third round and you're trying to ask him to do those things.
Let's see. Andrew from Monterey writes in. I just wanted to thank you all for the great work on the paper, blog, and shows. Also want to add that Paul is the best and my favorite contributor. His memory is good.
Are you sure?
We all just
buy what he sells us because none of us can remember.
He just can't let anyone get a compliment. You know, if it's not about him, he's like 6 years old. You know,
I commented neither on the compliment nor on the criticism, Fred. I let it all go.
It is Jimmy.
I just read the latest From the Heart post and could not be more excited about this trade possibility for Jared Allen. Could he be the next Vrabel?
You got him all worked up, Andy.
I love how Andy mentioned the possibility of him playing defensive end in the 4-3 and then outside linebacker in the 3-4. Is this just a thought by Brandt? Or have sources said that this is being discussed with the Vikings?
No, I'm pretty sure this is a thought by Brandt.
I think that the Pats have a solid run defense. I was at the Oakland game, and they shut down Darren McFadden big time. Adding Allen would be great for just a first-rounder, since we got the two this year. This front would be scary, both on the run and the pass. I think we'd all be excited. That would be something, because like these guys said, it's not a position where you have to come in and learn the system and, you know, you pretty much just line up and beat the guy in front of you. You know?
Yes. And
well, that's how we're talking about it. Bill might not see it like that. know,
I'm sure Bill could ruin Jared Allen and ask him to do 10 things other than rush
Bill
the
might
passer.
Complicate it on us.
Didn't they give up two ones for him when they traded with Kansas City?
Was it two ones or two twos?
Can you Google that, Strippers?
And by the way, Strippers, thank you for lunch today.
Yes, thank you. Boomer Sooner. Is that what it's called? Is that what I'm supposed to say? That's
sure.
What you say, right? Boomer Sooner?
Sounds good.
What does that mean?
That's their rallying cry.
Oh.
But isn't that a hard sell if you, even though it's whatever, it's 5 years later and you got a lot out of him, is it a hard sell when he's still an elite player to give up, to get back much less than you gave up to get him?
That's why I was wondering when you originally told me, is this something that Gil Brandt is throwing out there? Is he available?
No, I don't think so.
And if not, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense for Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota is having a bad season, but they have some talent on their team. They're making a transition at quarterback.
And he's 29. It's not like he only has 1 year left.
Yeah, I mean, if Christian Ponder is you know, going to be a good NFL quarterback, no one knows. He hasn't played yet. Who knows? But is it out of the realm of possibility that by this time next year, he's a legitimate up-and-coming quarterback, and all of a sudden they're a fringe playoff team again?
And now you've given away your best defensive player.
Minnesota has talent.
Yeah, I don't think he's available. Although, as you know, Jeff Howe once wrote about Larry Fitzgerald, everybody's available for the right price.
Him and the Million Dollar Man. Woo!
Let's see.
You got a Ric Flair woo at the end of the Million Dollar Man.
Right. Mixing my wrestling metaphors.
Nick in Maine.
I don't think that's appropriate.
Nick in Maine writes in. He says, just wanted to bring up that during yesterday's PFW in Progress, I lost internet connection toward the end. And when I reconnected, all I heard Fred say was, if your rear end was all roughed up, you could tell that they could tell that you were still doing it.
Yep.
I figured he was talking about Naked Bumper Boys, but it could easily be interpreted differently, if you know what I mean. Now on to my question. I know that the Cowboys have a ton of talented players, but I was just wondering which one of you considered the most dangerous this weekend out of Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, Felix Jones, or Jason Witten?
Dez Bryant. Based on this secondary and the problems they've had with bigger receivers and big plays, and I think they could be an issue.
I agree with Andy in terms of talent, but I'm more worried about Miles Austin because I think he's more consistent. There's something wrong with Dez Bryant in terms of they're talking about his conditioning. He's had a lot of really great first halves this year, and then he's either been on the bench by the second half or been ineffective in the second half. And Miles Austin's a guy that can put, you know, 10 for, you know, $1.60 on you like Vincent Jackson did. Dez Bryant's a guy that gives you, you know, 4 for $80 and 2 touchdowns. That obviously, that's huge production. And I think Andy's right. Dez Bryant's the more talented, scary player. Just haven't seen it for 60 minutes yet. Yep. I don't know why.
Damien is from Southeast England. He's one of the UK Patriots. He says, I've gone over the Cowboys game on the condensed NFL Game Pass, full game highlights, which condense every play into a 30-minute highlight reel. And I was watching their O-line closely, as I feel we have to force Romo to make mistakes in a game which could potentially be a shootout and come down to the team who makes the least mistakes. Doug Free looks a little uncomfortable at left tackle and more of a right tackle and has seemed to struggle throughout the season so far with this inconsistency. Do you guys like the matchup Andre Carter poses against him? Carter has been very promising despite his lack of huge stats, and I think he's due a breakout game.
Me too. I've been waiting for about 3 weeks now.
That was my pick. Andre Carter. JetBlue High Flyer of the Week.
Yeah.
After he was my JetBlue High Flyer of the Week last week, and maybe Fred the week
I agree with the email that the Cowboys have had some issues on the offensive line. Doug Free is one of the guys they've really had issues with. They have two other rookies. Free's not a rookie. They have two rookies starting. Because I said two other rookies.
I know,
rookies.
You made me laugh.
So I just wanted to clarify that. Okay, I was kind of like Brady when I talked about DeMarcus Ware. I immediately knew I misspoke. I wanted to correct it. Right, Freddie?
Right. Let's see.
One of them is Freddie's guy, Tyron Smith. Is it Tyron or Tyron? Tyrone?
I love
him. How do you pronounce his name?
I believe it's Tyron.
Tyron.
He's starting at right tackle, and then they have a name is escaping me. I believe it's a left guard who's a rookie also.
I love Tyron Smith. I think he's really good.
No, I know. You were raving about him opening week.
Temez from Philadelphia. I don't believe we've heard from either he or she. I'm not sure. But anyway, he or she says, can Paul and Andy just shut up about Tim Tebow? We all will know soon enough. I'm with Fred. I'm hoping he will succeed, but this vitriol from Paul and Andy is not attractive at all. What has he done to you? So he's a Christian who does not hide that he is one. Deal with it. We listen to you guys talk all about porn and sex and other stupid things. First-time writer, have listened for many years. Thank you, Temez.
I'll tell you.
Go back and listen.
An unbiased person who watched
Wow, Paul
Tim Tebow last night, and my wife saw him for about 5 minutes on a show and says, he seems like a real douche. He seems very fake.
See,
just letting you know.
Here's what people don't ever take into consideration. If he was just this unbelievably skilled quarterback and made all the throws, I would say, geez, he's a great player. I don't like him. I don't particularly care for his personality. My evaluation of the fact that I don't think he can play has nothing to do with the fact that I don't like him.
No. Here's why you don't like him.
Because he can't play.
No, because a lot of people do. That's why you don't like him.
You don't actually read a lot of national football guys then, do you?
But you...
Because you're in the minority.
No, I know, but you particularly don't like him because all these sycophants do.
No, I don't like him, but it has nothing to do with my evaluation is what I'm saying. There's a lot of guys that I don't like. I didn't like Randy Moss personally. I was never more wowed by an individual performance than I was in 2007. So I didn't let my hatred for the man affect how I evaluated his play on the field.
Yeah, but you hate Tim Tebow.
Absolutely. What part of this are you not getting?
I hate the image that is Tim Tebow. I'm with you a little bit. You're probably right on me. I think mine, literally the breaking point for me was everyone is better off for having spent 5 minutes with Tim Tebow. I think that was the breaking point for me. That's ridiculous. That's stupid.
He didn't say that, though. Somebody else did.
I know. That's why I said I hate the image as much. I think he stinks as a player, but my hate for him is not football related.
I know, but
my
but that's what I'm talking about.
I'm a better person because Tim Tebow walked in and was next to me.
But somebody else
that's
said
asinine.
That.
That's asinine.
He didn't say that.
But he acts like it.
If somebody said...
I can go back and get you the quote of how he thinks he's great and I'm going to walk into a locker room and I'm going
to
work hard and
they're
going to respect. And then this is going
to
turn into love and then this shut the up.
All right.
And even Brewski told him to shut the bleep up when I told Brewski about that.
Okay. Well. Okay.
Well, what?
Plus all
oh,
of
what?
The
he's an expatriate so now we don't care what Teddy
no,
Brewski
I'm
thinks
not
about
sure that your interpretation is accurate.
Ugh. My interpretation is
is his
that he's not Jesus Christ.
But his interpretation is his own.
In fact, in terms of football, he's a bit of a project. That's my interpretation.
I believe that.
People like the image of Tim Tebow. That's what they love. Oh, he's so great. Oh, he's the perfect guy. Oh, he's a Christian. Oh, he's this. Who cares?
But what if he really is genuine? What if he really is?
Is he the only good guy? Is he the only real leader?
No, but what if he
why is he considered greater than everyone else?
Tyrone Poole.
Who considers him greater?
Everybody.
So why do you hate Tim Tebow because of that?
Because I do.
Tim Tebow didn't ask people to give out their opinions.
But he fuels it. He feeds into it. He enjoys it. He embraces it.
I don't know.
I've yet to hear him say, oh, I'm just a man.
I'm going to repeat what I said.
I don't think he's a phony.
I don't know that.
I don't care if he's a phony or not.
I think he's genuine, and I think when people say that about him, they genuinely feel that way. And you can't blame Tim Tebow for that.
So he genuinely thinks he's better than everybody else?
No, other people do.
No, you don't think he does? You don't think he carries himself with an air?
I think as a competitor, he thinks...
You don't think he carries himself with an air of superiority?
He does.
Really? You watch him, and you don't think that he thinks he's better than you?
No, I don't.
Wow.
No, I do.
I really don't.
Oh, I do.
Well, anyway, I'll repeat what I said earlier in the show. If he ends up, you know, learning the NFL game and throwing 15-yard outs like everybody else does, and he's a successful quarterback, I'll be right there at the front of the line saying, hey, I was wrong. I didn't think he could do it.
Okay. Anthony in London says, I downloaded the iPad app last week and subscribed to use it. It's great, but...
Thank you.
Is there any way you tech guys can tweak it so when we download the paper, it appears as a PDF in iBooks or as a newspaper in the new newsstand app that is on iOS 5? It'd be great so I can download and read it at a later time during my commute rather than relying on an internet connection, which we don't get on the London Underground system. It's in the works, Anthony. We're going to have it in iBooks. Make sure that you can read it in iBooks. So that's coming within a few weeks, I'd say.
Good. I don't know if this is a broad problem, but my understanding is from at least one listener via Twitter that the latest update to iTunes has created some problem for some people, and it's on the iTunes end. It's on whatever they did.
Well, they just came out with iOS 5. So if you downloaded iOS 5 to your iPad, and you're on that platform now, when you turn the page, you know, that page-turning sensation you get, that's a little screwed up now.
No, this was for listening to our show, and I believe on an iPod, and I believe it was...
Oh, really?
iTunes 10.5. It was something 10.5, I believe.
Huh. I'll have to look into that.
And it caused it to, like, you couldn't listen. You'd lose it.
Chris, if you're listening...
he knows. He's aware. I forwarded it to him.
All right.
But even the guy told me he believes it's an Apple problem. It's on the Apple
end. Steve Jobs goes and everything just falls apart, right?
And that's why I wouldn't want to be next in line there. You're the cleanser. You're the guy who's doomed to failure. He is.
Sounds like Jaworski. You're doomed to failure.
Is he not?
No, he's not doomed to failure.
He's the guy that plays quarterback after Tom Brady. That's who I don't even know who the guy's name is, but that's who he is. You
Brian
can't
Hoyer?
Live up to it. Exactly, and he's doomed to failure, Paul, right? Can't possibly live up to the Brady expectation.
It will be a tough gig.
Whoever was in
Would
Miami.
Would you admit that?
Yeah.
You know what, Freddie? Sight unseen, I'll be rooting for that kid. That's a tough gig.
All right, it's 12:57. We need to take our 12:57 break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
These guys are so uptight. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Hamza in Toronto. Oh, no. Where is he? Yeah, he's in Toronto. He writes in. He says, the show has been in all-star form lately. I've been laughing out loud every few minutes here at work and looking at my coworkers and pointing frantically at my computer screen. Of course, I have headphones on, so they have no idea what I'm laughing at or what's wrong with me, but it's funny nevertheless. My nose is running a little bit.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
You just have to stop and wipe it. Let's see. Going on, he says, I've been trying to figure out what's been different lately, and the answer is obvious. I think Fred, who used to be Andy's comic foil in the past and good for a corny joke or two, has officially entered middle age now and therefore has completely lost his filter. Case in point, the naked butt sliding story from yesterday, which I think will come up in therapy one day or end up on Dr. Phil. Then there's the way Fred misquotes and misremembers old players in TV shows. It's Revis, Fred, not Revis. Also, when he said King of the Queens last week, I nearly lost it. Like it was some show about drag queens or something. Anyway, you're awesome. Keep it up and easy, Andy. One final note on the Jets game. My favorite part about beating the Jets is the same thing I used to love about beating the Colts. Only instead of the Manning face, it's the LT face. I can just see him there standing on the sideline looking like someone stole his lunch money or ran over his dog. Or maybe, like you just heard Fred's horrifying butt-sliding story, he looks so sour, it's priceless. Eat it, LT. And no curse words last week. Fred couldn't find it. No. And, you know, it's funny because I got a couple tweets, oh, where is it? And I asked Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, is there anything different that we did? He said, no, all the links were in the same place. And so, I mean, I only had about 7,000 people on it, which is down like 3,000 from the week before. So
3,000 couldn't find it.
Maybe some people, for some reason, couldn't find it. I don't know. But
their page was cached or not cached.
Yeah, supposedly Control-F5. Supposedly it
three
was
times.
Everywhere it was supposed to be, but I don't know. It's another thing Chris can get on.
Computers are killing the world. Yeah. All this uproar over the BlackBerry stuff the last couple days.
Yeah. I mean, that's it for them.
I told you they were done.
They were done. Yeah.
RIM has been jobbed.
Yeah. What happened?
Anyone with a BlackBerry couldn't get email for the last like 24 hours.
Because a node in somewhere in Europe was not working properly.
Oh, this is any
something.
BlackBerry?
Oh, everybody.
Wow.
Like everything was
Adam
blocked
Schefter
up.
Tweeted out, you know, can BlackBerry let me know when I can get an email again? And for him, that must be like, he must be freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's a problem.
Speaking of technology, I sat on a MIT forum.
I saw that, Freddie. I saw the tweet.
What was it about?
He doesn't know. Technology and sports, how it's changing the fans interact with their sports teams.
What'd you learn?
Nothing.
Because I know you didn't offer anything.
I was quoted a lot. If you do hashtag MIT forum, a lot of people quoted me.
And what did you say that was quotable?
A lot of different things.
Okay. Like what? Give me one.
He tweeted out, what did you say? I'm at MIT for a conference. What
am
I doing
here?
Yeah, and I said, hopefully not telling the, bumper
but,
cars.
Yeah.
Not butt. That's what it was. It was a butt bucking.
Yeah, I am glad, by the way, that the listeners are agreeing with Andy and I of the horrific nature of that story.
And can you refresh me how it came up yesterday? How did we get to that?
That's a good question.
Because I could not recall.
I don't know. I don't know what was the segue into that.
What made you go, you know what I'm going to tell?
Yeah.
My story about gay sex.
It reminds me of the time we used to slide around naked. It's completely innocent. It was a lot of fun. And you wouldn't have been able to do it because back then you were a little fatso and you probably didn't want to shower with other boys.
Yeah, I was a little fat. Yeah. About eighth grade, I started stopped being
boy.
Fat.
Andy and I have had quite the role reversal. I was a little twig.
But I would have been good at it, right? Because I would have had an extra...
Yeah, and as I recall, there was a point system where you had to try to get from one wall to the other without getting nailed.
so to speak. Without blowing your load.
We didn't say that.
See,
no.
Nailed was fine. You got to take it to a bad place.
Oh, I took it to a bad place? My wife didn't care for it.
She didn't care for it?
She thought it was...
I didn't even think about sharing
very,
that one.
Very, very weird. I'm not sure she thought it was gay more than just flat out really, really weird.
Okay.
So it's pretty much unanimous. You're the only one who thinks it's okay. You and the other, however many boys. How many boys was it? What kind of group?
Oh, there would be like 6-7 of us doing it at one time.
Now, what were there anybody not doing it? Like
no.
Observing and
no.
Like, what are you guys doing?
No, they'd clear out.
Yeah, because they were scared.
They're going to make me do it.
Holding the books over their butts as they ran out the door.
That's why hazing became a thing.
Who knew Fred was a pirate?
Yemi from Texas. Do you think the Cowboys are a better team than the Patriots? I do. That's why I'm picking them this week. I think the Jets could have held us under 30 points this week if their offense could move the ball. The Cowboys' defense will give us problems, and their offense will move the ball against us at will. On Sunday, we will see what Green Bay could have done to us last year if Aaron Rodgers had played. Who else is picking the Cowboys among you guys? Well, we'll do that a little later because today we go around the NFL.
I'm scared of the Cowboys, but I don't think in an hour, I will be picking them.
I think there's a reason why they're 2-2, and we'll get into that later.
There is. They're not consistent. They can't do it for a full 60 minutes. They make mistakes.
And that's why they're not a better team than the Patriots.
And that's why the Packers are a better team because they have the talent and they can do it consistently.
And I do think that there's reason to be scared, I think was the word Andy just used. And Yemi, if you're picking them, I understand that. We'll have a picks. I can see that. But they're not a better team because they can't do it consistently. You know, there's a lot
of
talk.
The quarterback thing.
It's a lot of talk. They could be 4-0. They're just two brain farts away from being 4-0. Well, they're two sort of fortunate plays away from being 0-4.
Right.
They won in overtime in San Francisco when they forced overtime on a last-second field goal. And they won by converting a 3rd-and-18 late in the game that Rome, the one that Bill talked about yesterday in the press conference. They blitzed. They had him all dead to rights. He escaped. And he threw a kind of a Hail Mary-type pass to Dez Bryant for the first down that set up the game-winning field goal. So they're two plays away from being 0-4, too.
And the other thing
about... So they probably deserve to be 2-2.
And the other thing about the email is that is just so ridiculous is saying
I got some bad news, Freddie.
What's that?
Mike Wright went on IR.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
That's good news, actually. I don't have to worry about him being
I can see where you're going with that, but yeah, Phillip Adams is back. As Andy talked about from the locker room, but Mike Wright was placed on IR to make room for him.
Okay.
That's unfortunate.
That is.
I've seen him
too
play
bad
his
for
last
Mike Wright.
Game as a Patriot.
But getting back to what we were just
and
talking about.
He is
about
listed,
the
by the way,
email.
With concussion in the official report.
What we were just talking about, you know, the other thing I have a problem with on the email is that, you know, saying that, well, if the Jets could have, you know, stayed on the field longer, they would have held the Patriots under 30 points. That might be true, but the fact is they couldn't. And the Patriots had something to do with that. And so, you know, that's kind of like a crazy argument to make.
I think his point is he and I kind of agree with it. I think the Jets defense did a better job of slowing the Patriots offense down than anybody else in the previous 5 weeks.
But did you expect that?
Yeah.
I mean, the Jets.
But I also expected the Jets' offense to move the football, and it didn't.
And so give some credit to the Patriots.
Sure, we've been doing it all week.
Right.
I think we started off the week with the I word, improvement.
Yeah.
On the Patriots' defense, absolutely.
Tim from Colorado writes in, hello, gentlemen and Andy. Tim from Colorado here. I'm a Patriots fan that has been displaced to Colorado, listening to the god-awful sports radio here. Seriously, Bostonians have no idea how lucky they are to have two good sports radio stations and a great Patriots.com radio station.
Good.
They think Tebow is the second coming of John Elway. I say that Tebow is awful and that he is way overrated. If he wins, it'll be his fault. But if he loses, it'll be somebody else's fault.
That's my point.
And he'll still have played well. Can we please stop with the trade deadline talk? We do this every year, and almost nothing happens ever.
Yeah. Something may happen, but most likely it's like a fifth-round pick for a special teamer or something.
I wouldn't be surprised the new CBA if it's the rule that they have to make trades now. All teams must make one trade or will report to this office for a meeting with the
I do like the this office part.
As opposed to like the Office Max down right. the street, you know.
I missed that.
Use that phrase, this office.
For what?
The
memo on the faking injuries?
Yeah. But I think they've used it before. This office.
No organization takes itself more seriously than the Shield.
Well, it is the NFL.
Right.
They moved or something? I remember
seeing
tweets.
They moved to smaller offices, from what I understand, yeah.
I saw a few
tweets. Not that their offices were that big to begin with. You know, people have this idea of, like, the NFL, and it's probably, like, this whole building in New York. It's not. It was, like, one floor of a building in New York.
Probably.
Or maybe two floors it was before.
Probably a big building, right?
How many people work for the NFL, roughly?
I think 17. No. It's I'd say a couple hundred, or maybe.
I'm surprised by that. Maybe, surprised is that many.
Well, I'm counting the people in L.A., all the people that.
Like, I mean, for NFL Network?
No, well, all the digital website people work in L.A.
Frank Todick?
Next to the...
I meant just the league itself.
Oh, then it's probably maybe less than 100.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure, but it's not as big as people think.
I don't see why... I don't see
and
why
I know people think it's big.
You have no idea because you haven't seen it, but...
Get your Charlie Brown sweater on today, huh, Andy?
I'm going through shirts that I don't care if they get ruined if the stuff I'm putting on my poison ivy stains it.
Speaking of shirts that you don't care.
Today.
Oh, that's actually a new stain?
Yeah.
Oh, I just assumed that stain's been there for years.
No, that was from this morning. I'll give you some slack then.
I
spilled so much coffee in the lobby, I had to go get paper towel and clean it up before people came. I can just see if I don't clean this up, I know someone's going to slip on it.
Slip and fall.
And I'm going to feel bad, and I won't admit that I was the one that spilled it.
I won't admit it.
So they'll have to go to the security cameras, and it'll show you spilling it.
Right. So I went and got paper towel and wiped it all up. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Olivier is in Virginia. And she's happy about that. What's going on?
Is she?
What was she happy about? I'm sorry?
That you're in her.
In who?
Virginia.
Actually, I'm in Dallas. I'm calling you from Dallas.
Oh, okay. Well,
Parcells.
Our crack producer wrote Virginia. But anyway.
Debbie does Dallas.
Okay.
I just wanted to call and ask you a few questions about the Ryan brothers' influence on the defense this weekend. I guess he beat us last year in Cleveland.
Yes.
He got his concern about the fact that maybe, you know, he's got a few tricks up his sleeves. And then what do you anticipate from the season closing for the trades or for the acquisition of new players? What do you think we're going to be doing this month of October to try to solidify maybe our defense or other parts of the game?
Not much. You know, everybody will talk about big exciting rumors, and, you know, the Jared Allen one is probably going to be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I think that's just speculation by an NFL.com writer. I just don't see them making a big move. I really don't. That just doesn't feel like what they would do. I mean, it was a big move last year to get rid of Randy Moss. I don't see them taking on a big move. And I also don't think guys that are that valuable are available. I don't think Jared Allen's available.
Yeah, that's true.
As far as the Ryan thing, I would expect to see a creative defense with athletes moving around. DeMarcus Ware, they move around. You know, he's done stuff in the past with, you know, the Belichick-like no defensive linemen mulling about. I think he likes to confuse people and send some pressure blitzes, and I think you'll see a lot of that, and they'll try to take advantage of maybe a Nate Solder or even a Sebastian Vollmer if he's coming off a couple-game absence here. I think they'll be aggressive on defense. I don't think they're going to sit back and just let Tom Brady pick him apart.
Yeah, I agree. I have some predictions. I think we should win. I think Tom Brady is going to have a great game. I think that Vince is going to make an interception again. I think that probably Fat Albert is going to have another cramp somewhere. and I think we're going to see more of a premature ultra-jugulation or jugulation, as Tom Curran put it on Twitter last weekend. But I think we're going to win.
Okay. Thanks, Olivier.
More positive than some people. There's some people that are predicting the Cowboys to win.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Tim in Kansas City. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Fred. This is Tim. I called last week, and you were thinking that I was Jeff, and I called Andy a fraud.
Oh, yes, yeah. Why am I a fraud?
This is the guy that had some problem with Andy.
But I've expanded that. I think that Fred's a fraud, too, now.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Explica, por favor.
Is that because of the bumper butt story?
No, I think that Fred allows guys like what's his face on the Eastern Shore to call in and talk for hours, and he kills other calls in 10 seconds. I think that's fraudulent.
Like you?
Calling you out.
Wow.
Love it.
I think Andy's
a fraud.
Thanks
a lot, Tim.
No. Let him talk.
I think Andy's a fraud because for the longest time, Andy has put up as though Eric is pompous and... that he says words correctly or, his spelling and, such like that. But Andy did kindly take me up in a game of words with friends and beat me on a word spelled Q-I. And I would like to hear Andy define that word and then use it in a sentence.
No, because I don't know what it is. I've learned that lesson from people using it against me. It's the flaws of that stupid game. Q-I is a word, but IQ is not a word. Because it's an abbreviation, and they don't let you use abbreviations. But QI is an accepted word in that game.
And what does it mean?
I have no idea. I just know that other people have used it against me, and I said, well, as Bill Belichick would say, you got to do business is being done, and that gets you points. So I'm sorry.
I would say that that's fraudulent, except the very next round I did play Eric one time, and I used it against him.
Exactly. So, it's smart business. Well, that's how you win. If you can find a loophole, you shoot yourself through the loophole.
Right. I think you guys with the trade thing have been really interesting today. And while I agree that I think in the NFL trades are unlikely, I do think that to the point we were talking about last week as far as is Belichick the GM, does he frustrate Belichick the coach? I think that he's a good enough coach to take what talent he has and make it better. But I think that he also limits himself by the talent he gets. I would almost like to see him, this year when you guys before the season began, we're talking about what if they traded a couple of a ones and a two or something like that for someone like Larry Fitzgerald. I think that he would be better doing that, particularly on defense, because he wants a guy seasoned. He wants to know what a guy can do. So maybe not mid-year, but why not around draft time do more of that kind of thing?
Sure. I'd be for him having elite talent and watching him see what he could do with it as a coach.
And the example would be right now, Tim, a guy like Umanura from the Giants, who seemed to fit the kind of need that the Patriots had, was disgruntled with the Giants and available. And it would have cost you a lot, but I think that, he's a seasoned guy that Bill has had an opportunity to watch as a pro to see what kind of skills he has and how they might translate into a system. I think you're right.
And then, because if you look again, even this year's draft, half of it's already gone. The other half that we still have, Green may or may not play. Solder, I think, was serviceable last game, but he had people going by him. You're constantly having to bring Gronk in next to him to help him out. Why not put those picks into trades? And, it's frustrating, I think, for everybody every year. You have two first-rounders, two second-rounders, and all of us would say package him and move up. Well, he doesn't do that. So why not then just trade one or two of them away and get somebody great?
Well, part of the issue is his feeling in talking about pass rushers in general, that so many of them don't hit, that they're few and far between where you get elite, productive pass rushers early, but they hit. That's the other issue. And I've always said, I trust him to pick the right one. If he's scared, I don't understand why he would fear not picking the right one. Almost every year there is one. You just got to make sure you pick the one that works, not the ones that don't.
I think, but I think that, I don't, it'd be great, again, to give him a little truth serum and see what he really feels. But, A, you have to give up a lot to get him. Then you have to give up a lot to keep them, because these elite guys command tons of money.
Well, no more so than Vince Wilfork or Tom Brady or Logan Mankins.
Well, I don't think I.
And plus, you I get would, your 5 years.
Yeah, but
out
I
of
wouldn't
him.
Compare Tom, a quarterback, a franchise quarterback, to an elite pass rusher.
No, I just How compared it tackle? To all your guys that you've decided to pay $50 million to.
Yeah, I think that
you wouldn't rather pay $50 million to an elite pass rusher than an elite nose tackle.
If my system is a 3-4, I have to think about that.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I wouldn't even bat an eye.
You know, if I'm
I think the lifeblood of the 3-4 is the outside linebackers.
Well, it is, you know, but
that's why we stink.
Yeah,
that's why we haven't been as good in the last half of the last decade.
We have a Pro Bowl nose tackle.
But let me ask you a question.
First half of the decade, we didn't have a Pro Bowl nose tackle.
How does Vince Wilfork's contract compare to true elite pass rushers?
$10 million left.
Less.
All these guys at the Steelers and those guys have been $50 million deals, 50-ish. And he got 40-ish.
And he got 48,
and Mankins, did he? I thought he got 42.
Oh, okay.
But Mankins got $50 million. He's a guard. I mean, you can give guys $50 million if you think they're good, right?
Well, yeah.
And I certainly don't not draft a guy because in 5 years I might, God forbid, he's got 80 sacks at that point. I might have to pay him $50 million.
I despise that mentality.
But other than Quinn.
You're right. You don't have to pay Cunningham $50 million. But listen, no fear there.
Will you shut up for a second? Other than Quinn.
Tim liked that one.
Other than Quinn, they really haven't been in position to take the elite pass
They're in position
pass
to do whatever they want to do. They have multiple picks every year.
Even Belichick said, I don't know if, I forget if it was on Sirius or, you know, they were talking about DeMarcus Ware, and, you know, he said, you know, we loved him. You know, we just didn't know, we weren't in position to take a guy like that, and we haven't been in position.
Because he's not willing to trade up.
But they didn't love, and just in full disclosure, Andy and I didn't love him either, Clay Matthews.
Right.
They were in position to take him.
Truly, they didn't think that he was going to be what so he is. I think they missed on that one.
But there are guys.
They missed on that.
As did I.
My only point, yeah,
but
we
I don't
all,
think
all
there's
missed.
Guys that they think, oh, this guy's going to do it, and they say, we can't take him. They either can't
well,
take
okay, him. Okay, so we let him off the hook for bad evaluations then.
Yeah, no, I'm not letting him off the hook. They made a bad evaluation on Clay Matthews.
No, but
it was a miss.
But my point is, you can easily say the guys that get taken before you pick, oh, I liked him too when they hit. But then the guys they don't take, you say, well, they missed on the evaluation.
No, but they could have easily taken Clay Matthews.
No, I understand. And there's a million other examples of guys like that. Yeah.
That's the problem, I think, with trading back. When you're looking for value the entire time, he's screwing himself. I mean, your best value, as everybody would say, is at the top of the draft. So
yes.
Take a first and a second and trade up.
Yes.
You know, or trade it out entirely and get a player that's already playing. That's going to be your greatest value. To sit every year and say, you know, when they pick the Kevin O'Connell or the Darius Butler or, you know, Brandon Merriweather, you hope that it works out, but you trade back to get him, you're passing on stuff.
Right. I think there's value in having one great player. He thinks there's value in having three good ones. And one of them may end up being great or something like that. That's just a difference of philosophy.
And you're right, Tim. He does such a good job coaching those players that it's not as big of an issue as it would be if another team was right. messing up on their draft picks.
Right.
Because he's such a good coach that he's able to get by with lesser talent at various spots.
And then I think you put yourself in a season like this and you're hurting on defense, you're old, and I think that, you know, it's a stopgap before 4-3, but wouldn't it be better, I mean, to have done better in the draft? You're looking back. You're saying, well, you know, Ray Malaluga now is a pretty good player after a couple of years. Clay Matthews, that USC class, first year they weren't much. You know, and everyone liked Everett Brown, right? But he's not been great.
Yeah.
But I'd rather pick a guy and have him bust than to just trade back and compile picks.
It's better to try and fail than not try
Thanks,
at all.
Tim.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brad, from the Eastern Shore. I mean, Tim.
We gave Tim a lot of time there, though. But I'm with Tim in that one thing. I would rather take a position of need, not reach for a position of need. Don't misunderstand me.
Right.
But I'd rather take a player that you have rated on your board at a position of need and have him bust than take an extra guy.
Not all of a sudden, because the interview was yesterday, and you couldn't do that.
You know, how many cornerbacks have we missed on in
a
the
lot.
Top three rounds over the last 5 years? You know, enough. You know, enough. Give me a pass rusher, and if it doesn't work out, well, at least I needed that position badly. You know, so just try something a little bit different. But again, Bill is so gifted at figuring out how to get around. Geez, I have Rob Ninkovich is in my 60s. He hasn't really played that much, but I can play him at strong side line, and it doesn't hurt him. He's able to scheme around that
well,
and get enough out of it. How
and
much
have the
better
32nd ranked defense in the NFL?
How much better would you be if Rob Ninkovich were DeMarcus Ware?
A lot.
You know, that I would like to see Bill operate with the elite talent like we did in the earlier part of the decade.
And I'll go back again to how I started this show. You may not be the only one that thinks that when Tom Brady has to catch himself saying, you know, if we had a guy like that on our team, and you could see, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Well, I just think that Brady's probably looking at it and saying, it'd be nice not to, you know, have to score every single time I get the ball in order to win a game.
Or to take over more drives on the 20 because there was a strip sack, and now all of a sudden I only got 20 yards and it's 14-0 and game, set, match.
Let's see. Chris from Toronto. I was listening to one of Bill's press conferences and reading between the lines. He didn't sound like he was overly pleased with Brandon Spikes' play thus far this season. Seems like Spikes has been on a slippery slope since he arrived here. The chat roulette mess, the suspension late last season, injuries, etc. For a player who came here with such promise, I'm concerned is his playing time this year and or his roster spot next year in jeopardy, and why? And P.S., have Paul and Annie mended fences over their heated pissing match from last week? My God, that got intense for a bit there. And as funny as it was hearing the two of you practically come to blows, Fred's instigating and occasionally cackle at Paul and Andy's expense just capped it all off. Must listen radio.
Fred, is this starting to bother you?
What?
That everybody agrees with us on Brandon Spikes, including Bill
Belichick.
Well,
I think yesterday hit hard when that quote from Bill came out about Spikes.
Finally. Oh,
yeah. That hit Fred hard.
But I was more on Guyton after the game.
Of course you were.
Than Spikes.
You were more on Guyton, and you were more on Guyton for simply the communication more so than
to
any
which
plays.
I give him all the credit in the world. I don't think that's an easy thing.
I don't either.
I give him a lot of credit for that. I just don't think he played all that
well. I want to talk about frauds. I got one sitting across from me.
But, yeah, the email is absolutely right. Bill had a very lukewarm assessment of Brandon Spikes' play thus far.
Charlie Casserly tweets.
Yes, it's good.
He says, Haynesworth, New England, doesn't play much and isn't very good when he plays, can hold his ground, but nothing happens. Late to shed blocks, he's not a factor. But you know, how often is Charlie Casserly right?
See, I think Charlie Casserly, though, is falling in the same trap we all did. He's comparing him to Albert Haynesworth. Compare him to just a Jag.
Imagine that. He's comparing Albert Haynesworth to Albert Haynesworth.
Todd said,
the audacity.
That. You're not getting
but you
that.
Were supposed to.
Not really.
We weren't. We were sold on that beginning of the year.
Who sold it?
You didn't read the analysis of that trade? Another brilliant move by Bill
My
Belichick?
My guess is what Bill said was, we'll put him out there and see where he fits in.
I'm not talking about Bill.
Right?
I'm talking about the
says?
Analysis yeah. of the trade.
It's not how you got here. It's what you do when you get here.
There were people that
exactly.
said, if Belichick can get him to play, this is brilliant.
Right. So?
People said that, and I agree.
But now all he is a rotational defensive lineman.
That's all.
If you're expecting a defensive player of the year, then you are thoroughly disappointed.
Forget it.
If you're expecting a guy who can give you Kyle Love or better, then I think you're saying, nee, he's been okay. Right?
So it's a good move if you get Kyle Love or better?
It's worth that hassle? What hassle?
The hassle of having to deal with a potential distraction of bringing a guy like that in and having to answer questions about it all summer?
Yeah, I don't think that's that big a deal. Now, if he becomes
a
distraction,
for
a
guy who plays
it.
20 snaps and fills space.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big. Unless he becomes an issue. The possibility of becoming an issue to me is not the issue.
I don't get it.
Doesn't become a bad move until he's an issue. Then you say it wasn't worth it because
well,
he's
not
that
saying,
good. And he's
yeah,
an
I
issue.
Just don't think you get anything out of him. What's the upside?
It's still
which is
only
what
week six.
My initial argument about it at the time was I didn't see the upside that everybody else did. A lot of people saw the upside of this as being this is a Pro Bowl caliber player when motivated. He can do A, B, and C. And I didn't see that upside because I haven't seen it in too long. It's been too long since I've seen him play like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't see the upside.
That's fair. Todd says, your computer monkey is crazy. Curse words was on Pats.com, but if I went directly to the blog page, I couldn't find it. I missed the first 15 minutes or so until I figured it out.
Why did that happen?
I don't know. I don't know what's
but
going on.
But you're right. You should definitely be on an MIT panel. I don't know.
I'm doing it.
Curse words is just on.
I don't have, you know.
I'm doing it. Curse words is just on the blog. It's not on.
No, it's on patriots.com.
Oh, okay.
We have the most confusing way of Pre-game show is not on the website. It's on the Facebook page. You can get it on iTunes. And the curse words isn't on the website. It's on the blog.
Brian in Baltimore says, I was thinking about players that a lot of people hate for whatever reason, but I actually kind of like. People hate Tebow because he seems fake and he's not typical NFL quarterback and really doesn't have the prototypical skills and he's a virgin. Yeah, right. People hate Randy Moss because he was seen as a thug. He allegedly beat some woman who was his friend and he's a freak talent that was wasted if you ask some people. Others hate Brady because he's the poster boy for metrosexuals in the NFL. He's the golden boy that everyone loves to see kicked off his high perch and because he's awesome enough to marry a supermodel and left another gorgeous woman for that supermodel.
Gorgeous? Question mark.
Anyway, my point about liking these guys are that I tend to go against the grain and cheer for the players that either have now or in the past overcome some serious odds or negative public opinions from fans, coaches, sports writers, or just ignorant people. I think it's funny to hear people bash them and then go out and prove them wrong. I think for players that are hated or disliked for whatever reason, I cheer for them because I think it's more fun to be a contrarian than just a hater. Can we please stop the hate?
And I'm the contrarian.
No, you're the hater.
This guy likes people simply for the reason that everybody else doesn't like them. And I'm the contrarian.
And I don't see how Brady fits into his equation in any way.
Yeah, because there's three people.
Well, there are people out there that hate Tom Brady.
Not really.
No one.
Oh, outside of New England? Oh, please.
Oh, but that's fan. You're talking about fans being jealous of, like the Patriots hate Peyton Manning.
Yeah, sure.
That's good, solid hatred.
Absolutely.
That's not real.
Okay. Right. That's uniform-based, rivalry-based.
I get that.
Okay. But no one really hates him.
I mean, right now, you got to start having a little of that for Aaron Rodgers now. He's starting to sort of creep into that, you know, he's ascending to the throne up there with Brady. You got to start hating him now.
Yeah, I was thinking.
That's good, solid hatred. That's not personal.
Brady's numbers could very well warrant a second straight MVP, but I think Rodgers, as of right now, I think Rodgers would win it.
His numbers are better.
I think it'll be close, but I think Rodgers
will
win. It will
be close.
Certainly won't be unanimous again if he has
but
the ability.
But I think at the end of the day, well, Green Bay's defense isn't doing that great either, but at the end of the day, the determining factor between those two, assuming everything stays equal, is whose defense is better. And the guy with the worst defense will get the MVP.
Oh, then Brady's got
Got it locked up.
Right.
Might as well give it to him now.
But, I think the guy who has the better record and better numbers
on defense aren't that much better than Patriots defense.
No, but it's been a different situation.
Yeah.
When they've played to the situations of their games. Like this past week, when their offense struggled really for the first time all year, the defense won a game for them. On the road against a playoff caliber team, they shut them down. Holding the 14 points.
And then when you factor that
shut them out in the second
half.
Well,
Brady didn't have that. He's the MVP.
Well, what if Rodgers is undefeated?
Well, then he's the MVP. Then
what if that changed quickly?
I said it. Everything stays
what if,
equal.
What if Rodgers continues to have better numbers than him?
Brady
then
he's the MVP.
Brady
could
be 15-1 though.
Equal.
If Brady's 15-1 and Rodgers is 16-0,
and
Brady has the worst defense,
then it's close. It's close.
It's Rodgers.
It's close right now. I think Rodgers. I mean, it's only been five games, but I think Rodgers has been
third of the season.
Better.
We're third of the way there.
Look, Green Bay is a team to beat. They're the best, in my opinion, the best team in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. If you want to do your power rankings or whatever.
Power rankings.
You know?
I would agree. And most people have the Patriots second again. They fell down a couple slots.
I don't even know if
the
Patriots would be number two right now.
Who you got two? Baltimore?
I think the Patriots are number two right now.
You know, I like Detroit. You know, I think Detroit's in the mix.
I can't do that.
I think Saints are in the mix. I think particularly, you know, power rankings, sometimes you do the matchup, who would win. I think right now, Patriots don't match up well with the Saints. You know, that Greg Williams attacking defense.
Oh, I think they're, but
I
think
willing to take risks.
But I
think that's what you need to do.
I think there are games that the Patriots could lose, but not necessarily two teams that I think are better than them. I think this is one of them. I don't think Dallas is anywhere near as good as the Patriots in terms of a 16-game season. But I think a matchup, this is a matchup I think Dallas could win.
Sven from Sweden says,
I love when he does
the
that.
The reason we hate Tebow is that it sucks. Brandon Lloyd, who made a good catch on a poorly thrown ball, after listening to Tebow speak, you notice he was the intellect of a 12-year-old, and that's why we hate him. Kind of a southern Swedish accent.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
I just didn't get the whole
chef.
Like, the media gets proven wrong. Like, I don't get that. Like, if a guy's a good guy or a bad guy or indifferent, who, you know, whatever, his success on or off the, you know, what does that have to do with proving someone? Like, if I don't like Tim Tebow, we'll use this as an example, and he goes out and he ends up being an all-pro quarterback and a Hall of Famer, Does that mean I'm wrong because I don't like him? I mean, I'm wrong if I continue to say he's not a good player.
Right.
But I don't have to like him because he turns out to be a good player. I don't like the aura that is Tim Tebow. I don't like him.
Well, see, the comparison I'll make is I don't like the aura. I think Cam Newton is fake. There's a lot there I don't like, but I kind of like him because when you watch, you're like, whoa.
Well, he's a great player.
And I wonder if
and maybe Tebow can do that. I don't think Tebow has that kind of athleticism.
No, he doesn't. That's
my point. He definitely doesn't have that kind of arm.
I wonder if Tebow were as good as Newton, would I overlook my hate for him and just go, well, you just got to like it. Because, you know, I like Bo Jackson. I like guys that can do things that I've never seen before. There's nothing Tebow does for the good that I've never seen before. Yes, he can do stupid left-handed jump passes that I've never seen before.
And that was
the
Randy Moss thing. That's what, you know, from afar, I didn't like Randy Moss watching him. It was always mischief.
I never disliked Randy
Moss. I didn't have any problem with him like I did with, say, Corey Dillon before Corey Dillon became a Patriot. I thought Corey Dillon was a bad guy. Moss was always in trouble. I didn't like the way he quit.
How about James Harrison? He's a wife-beater douchebag, but I kind of like him because I kind of like watching him play.
You just like the Steelers.
I don't really like that.
No,
I don't like James
fast,
Harrison
fast, athletic
either.
People who make ridiculous plays.
I think he's a great player, but I don't like the person.
Me against you in basketball.
Remember that
game
when it was one kind of his coming out party when he was still playing special teams, and I think he forced a fumble on special teams. He had a couple sacks, and I was watching it on either Sunday or Monday Night Football, and you're just like, wow, the image of the plays he makes as a sports fan just grabs you.
Yeah.
Whether he's a douche, not a douche.
You're glad he's on your team.
Yeah. I don't even know about that because maybe he's bad for the team because he's a total jerk. But I'm just talking about in the 10 seconds of watching a play, I don't know how you can not like what Cam Newton does or not like what James Harrison does as an athlete, everything else thrown to the side.
All right.
That's what I'm drawn to.
I think he's a terrific player and a
terrific
athlete.
When does Tebow do that? Even when he has nice runs, he's a freaking white fullback running into the end zone. That's
the only thing I gave Harrison.
He's Andy Hart in high school.
Last year when he had those hits, I thought that was a little bit overblown. I didn't think the hits were, you know, he was made out to be like Charles Manson, you know, the way he was trying to kill people and stuff like that. And I didn't really see it that way. Oh. But in terms of the person, I've heard him talk enough and say enough stupid things. Not exactly a guy that I would care to root for.
Right, but as the player, I kind of like him.
He's a tremendous player. I can't take that away from him.
Steve Roberts
is what I will do to Tebow if he turns out to prove me wrong on
the
field.
But he can't. He's not going to suddenly grow physical skills.
All right. Steve Robertson in Killeen, Texas says, to assist one and all key, QI, is one of the accepted spellings of the more common cheat, CHI, and could be used as follows. Andy aligned his key before unleashing a torrent of expletives in defending his point on the Patriots' greatness. All the best. Keep up the great work. And I agree, Vince, no-fly zone Wilfork will get another INT. All right, a lot of other emails. John Rook will get to them in Patriots' playbook. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it's time to go around the NFL.
I love this card.
With my Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
If you didn't know AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. Autotrader.com. Now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Eric's here, fresh from practice.
So ready?
Before
how are
we
you?
Go around the NFL, let's hear what happened out on the practice field.
If you saw the injury report yesterday and you saw Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis with a toe injury, limited yesterday, not a good start for him today because he wasn't out there, and presumably because of that same toe issue. Vince Wilfork was not out there either, but since he wasn't on the injury report, I'm going to guess that it's non-injury related, going on a little bit on a limb there, I know.
Unless he's on the injury report today.
Unless he is right. Today for something that cropped up after practice, who knows, but I'm going to take the positive route there. Josh Barrett remains out.
So unlike you.
As does Gerard Mayo. They were in full pads, Fred, on the Gillette Stadium game surface where they're going to be on Sunday. A little bit misty, kind of a wet, slick track out there because of the weather we're having. But crisp, autumn-like day.
There it is.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't it autumn?
It is autumn.
You said
not autumn-like.
We said autumn day.
Because we had summer-like weather in autumn this past weekend, so we're having autumn-like weather now.
No, we're having autumn. Did Fred tell you like when it's not the season?
Did Fred tell you there was
about
14 emails with different explanations about Indian summer?
Oh, no. Were any of them right?
I have no idea. So had something to do with the crops or something?
Indian corn? I've heard of that. That's the corn with the colored kernels in it. And not
correct.
I don't know if I should say colored. Non-yellowish white.
Oh my God!
Pigmented?
I don't know.
Can we get to the picks? That's it.
I'm
for the,
very hesitant. I don't in this age.
Yeah, all of a sudden, this guy is worried about every word he says. All right, Freddie. Last week, Eric and I set the pace at 9-4, followed by Freddie at 7-6, and Andy at 6-7.
And Andy
overall 6-7. Wow, 0.0.
That's pathetic. Straight up. That's pathetic.
With the spread, Eric
gay up.
Also went 9-4. I went 7-6.
What did he say?
You went gay up.
Yeah, well, that's what he does.
That's unbelievable.
Because he's closeted, Fred. One of these days he's going to come out and nobody's going to be surprised.
Would I come out in the shower of my middle school?
Maybe not there, but...
Then you'd get arrested.
Why, you didn't.
Somehow you skated.
Yeah, I happened to be in middle school.
Did you grow up in ancient Greece, by the way? What was that all about?
Ancient Greece.
So Eric went 9-4 with the spread, Freddie.
You don't like it when the gay guy's making fun of you and being gay.
I was about to
let go.
There
is no gay guy on the show,
right,
Randy.
You know,
but you formerly played that character. You no longer play that character. You are now the frustrated heterosexual.
Always have been.
Coming into his own. And.
85th time he's told that joke.
Screw you, bitch.
Or sock.
How was it against the spread?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought we were in a rush to get
banana
these picks through.
We are, actually. But it is bye.
What is buy?
Yeah, there it is. I knew he couldn't. I knew he wouldn't let it go.
No,
I didn't
this one
bother.
I didn't really understand. Next
it is the bye week. He's saying
there's
so
buys.
There's fewer games.
Fewer games.
Oh, I was going to say yeah, next week.
But I knew you couldn't let it go, so I didn't.
Although
even
Fred did ask me in the press box before the Jets game, who are we playing this week? And I had to ask him if he was really serious, and he was. I had to tell him we were playing the Jets.
He has trouble.
Of all weeks to forget who the opponent is.
Yeah, he was busy. He was busy fixing the IT problems.
Didn't
I
he
have
open
to give
last
him
Tuesday with
Jets week? Hate the Jets. No, but he had a lot going on in the press box
a lot
in that game.
On. Sweating.
He was. Well, more than usual.
Part of the problem is you get here at like 6 a.m. for a 4:15 game,
and it's still not enough time.
And the parking lot's already full.
50 extra pounds.
You see, I don't have to take it to an ugly place.
What about the spread?
With the spread, Eric was also 9-4.
Wow.
I was really 7-6.
Wow.
Fred was 6-7.
Oh, unlike you, Fred.
And Andy was 5-8.
Wow.
So the season standings are as follows. Eric and I are still tied in first place at 54-23. Fred drops to third from the lead, 53-24, one game back. And then Andy, 48-29. With the spread, Fred maintains his lead there, 39-35-3. Mm-hmm. Eric is 37-37-3. I'm 35-39-3. And Andy's 31-43-3.
Andy has as much feeling for picking football games as he does the human race.
But I don't
know what that means. For picking the human race?
You have no
feelings.
Well,
he has no feeling for the human race.
Oh, feeling for the human race.
It was terrible.
Anyway, internet's all jacked up
what do you
now.
Keep
so
looking
I
do you want me to just give you the
I
names?
Actually,
I have them all
I
written
have
down.
Them right here.
Oh,
on my,
by the
on
way,
my iPhone.
Thank God you got us iPhones and we don't have Blackberries anymore.
Oh, I know.
With all the nonsense that's been going on around the world,
I know.
With these things,
Rim is gone. It is failing fast. All right, first game is a
Rim doesn't have a job anymore.
I went with Rim got jobbed or whatever.
I don't know what that means.
Rim is the
Rim
company
is?
That makes. All right. The first game is a 1 o'clock game. Carolina at Atlanta.
Falcons by 4.
I will take the Atlanta Falcons to win, but I'm not too comfortable with it. Cam Newton's continuing to make plays, and I think the Falcons are a shaky football team. I saw
I do too.
Jones is hurt, not playing this week. I don't have a lot of confidence in them.
Matty
not a lot
Ice.
Of confidence at all.
I don't either, but I still am going to go with the Falcons. They're at home. Cam Newton's going to keep the Panthers close, but I think in the end the Falcons win by 6 to 7 points. So give me the
I love when
Falcons.
He gives the points.
Why?
Just makes me laugh.
It should make you laugh six because seven, you know we're all beating five. You and you're at the very bottom. You should take a hint.
Yeah, but I know what the game of football is.
No, you don't.
I share your apprehension
you
with the Falcons.
Uniform colors like
I don't girl. Think the Falcons are very good. I've sort of been feeling like that since the start of the season. I think they find a way to squeak out a win at home, but I'll take Carolina to cover. I think they lose by a field goal.
I'm with you, Paul. I don't have the meatballs to pick
well, they're cold
Atlanta
anyway.
Straight up, but I will take the points.
His meatballs were cold, to which he said, my balls are cold.
He asked Lindsay to warm
and
them
he
up.
He asked Lindsay to warm
I never did
Lindsay
that.
Was here?
Maybe Andy did. And I asked
Oh,
Lindsay
look at
to
Eric.
Warm.
Lindsay was here. So that's how we can get Eric back to the studio earlier is just tell him Lindsay's going to come.
You can have them change practice time, Fred. That's the only way you're going to get me to the studio quicker. Somebody has to do work around here.
He's like catfight. Andy's rubbing off on everybody now. Everybody's talking lightning quick
Excuse
sentences.
Me?
Yeah. I didn't say you were rubbing up against anybody, Andy. Please. Not every word has to coincide with a sexual act.
Oh, it does for him. All right. Next game is also a 1 o'clock game.
We don't need the game times.
Indianapolis at Cincinnati.
Bengals by 7.
Ooh, I'll wow. take the Bengals to win, but I will take the points.
I'll take the Bengals to win as well. And they win by 10, so I'll take both ways.
I am going to take Cincy both ways as well. The way that Bengals defense is playing, I need to learn a little bit more about their personnel because their numbers are quite impressive. And with Indianapolis, it struggles, obviously, offensively. I think they're going to win the game and cover.
Is it my Samoans getting the job done up front? Probably.
I don't know. I just told you, I have to learn a little bit more about the personnel because their numbers are pretty, I don't know if they just got a lot of well-placed opponents. I mean, they did shut down Buffalo, and Buffalo's been scoring against everybody else.
You know Came why you guys beat Buffalo. Me in this? Because I don't
But they didn't give up
football.
Any points in the game.
Right. I never know who wins week to week and
you
who's
might
playing
try.
Well.
It is only your job.
This is my upset of the week.
No, my job's to cover the Patriots. That's why
which
we have
you don't do either.
National columnists.
Which you never do either.
This is my upset of the week. Indianapolis wins this game outright.
Just because you tell me who's not on the practice field 5 minutes after everyone else tells me doesn't mean you're doing your job.
He gets so defensive, Paul. And then he turns into a sexual act, too. It's unbelievable.
Another 1 o'clock game, San Francisco at Detroit. Are the 49ers for real?
All right. Detroit is favored by 4.5, and who would have figured that this was going to have...
Wow. You drew out that F for a while. I thought you were going somewhere
else. This game is the best combined record of the week between the two teams.
Yeah, how about that?
One loss between them. 9-1.
Who are they playing?
San Francisco at Detroit. Lions by 4.5.
I saw the secret. I was flipping through the statistics a little bit, and all the teams that have turned it around are in the top 3 or 4 in turnover differential. Clearly, that's the most important statistic in football.
Clearly.
Lions, 49ers, and Bills, 1-2-3 or 1-2-4, something like that. But I think the Detroit Lions, this game's in Detroit, right, are the better football team. I buy them more than I buy the Niners. I think they are more legit. I think they have a legitimate quarterback, and that's always important in this league. And I think that defensive line is more than legit. They can change games. And they're playing a 49ers offense that I think will be totally disrupted and befuddled by that defensive line. So I think the Lions win easy.
Mm-hmm. And the Niners already got their trip out to the East Coast win, which I didn't expect them to do when they came over and beat Philly.
That's because they had a walkthrough on one of the greatest walkthrough sites
ever.
I don't even remember where it was. John Harbaugh was raving about where they did
in
a walkthrough.
Ohio.
Really? In like a parking lot in Ohio. I don't even know why.
Somewhere between Cincinnati and Philadelphia. They never went home. They had this just perfect...
Youngstown
venue for a walkthrough.
Well,
didn't know there was such a thing.
They're not going to get it done this week. Lions go 6-0. They win by 7.
I believe that the Lions will win as well, and the reason is that front four that Andy talked about. San Francisco wants to run the ball. You have to throw the ball to beat Detroit because their secondary stinks, but you're going to be running. Franco is going to be running into a brick wall in this game. I think the Lions win big.
Yeah, I got to go with the Lions as well. 1 o'clock, St. Louis at Green Bay.
Packers by... 15.
Woo-hoo. Oh, boy.
That one hurts a little bit.
Green Bay's starting to get a little of the 2007 Patriots treatment.
Yeah,
a little.
They don't have a tab yet. Once they get a tab on
you got to get to like 10, I think. You got to get to like 10-0 before you get tabs.
Everybody's getting all jacked up over the Thanksgiving game. I am going to go with Green Bay, obviously, to win. But I am not going to lay the points. I'll take the points. That's a big number. That defense is not playing well enough for me to lay that number.
Even against the Lambs?
I like Sammy.
I know you do. And you like Quinny, too.
Sing for me.
But he's not Quinning.
Sammy.
How do you know?
Because I follow football.
No, you don't. If you followed football, it would show.
How can you make that statement? Seriously,
how can you take it seriously and get all mad? You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Because you've been getting mad for the last 10
minutes.
You
only have a six-game lead on him.
I have not been mad yet. Picking games, I mean, car dealers do better than me. It has nothing to do with knowing the game of football. Picks are irrelevant to a knowledge... playing of the game of football. There's no better example of that than
Fred Kirsch. Wow. You're going to take that from him?
It's just ridiculous. You consider the source and you just laugh it off.
The man who came out of last week saying Brandon Spikes and Gary Guyton had elevated their games.
Tell everybody how to tell him that he was wrong. I'm going to take Green Bay, but I'm going to follow Andy's lead and take the points. I'm going to take the points.
Yes, good call.
Green Bay. I think outright.
I think Green Bay. You can give the points too.
Yep.
Right. I think Green Bay's given up a lot of garbage points, and I think they'll continue to do that this week, and that's why I'm going to take the points.
I think Aaron Rodgers. Bing, 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 bing.
Oh, I think that'll happen.
Shooting gallery.
Yes. I think that'll happen. It could be one of those.
Till Quinny
breaks
him in half.
Buffalo at the Giants. 1 o'clock game on Sunday.
Giants by 3.5.
And a hay.
Thanks to the Giants for knocking me out of knockout last week, by the way.
I am going to take the Buffalo Bills to continue their early season success. I don't like the Giants. I don't trust the Giants. And I'm starting to have, unlike Fred, I kind of like the Bills. I feel good for them. I want them to have a little success. This is a good win for them.
I agree with what you said, Andy. However, if the Giants hadn't knocked you out of knockout last week, Paul, I might have gone with the Bills. But I can't see the Giants, even though I don't think they're that great a team, I don't see them dropping two ugly games in a row at home. So I'll take them in a slight win over Buffalo.
So you're picking the points?
What's the number again?
3.5.
Yeah, they'll win by a field goal, so I'll take the points.
I'm going to do the same thing as Eric. I will take the points, but I'm going to take the Giants to find a way to win. I actually think Buffalo might be a better team.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think they are. Well, then it's not an ugly loss for the Giants if they lose. If you look back, and Buffalo's 11-5 team.
Yeah, I think it's more related to the Giants' state right now with all the guys they're missing. Yeah,
I think the Giants stink.
I think it's going to be a slow deterioration during the course of the season. And my decision to pick them to win the division was short-sighted.
Coach, Coughlin finally going to get fired?
If he stinks, I think he's a good coach.
I'm with Paul and Eric. I think the Giants win, but they don't cover. The Buffalo, I think they might be a better team, but they're just not ready yet to go down to the Meadowlands in New Jersey and win this. Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. 1 o'clock game on Sunday.
Pittsburgh by 12.
Pittsburgh 12. Will win, but I will take the points. With these injuries in Pittsburgh and a cheap score.
Not a division game.
Not a division game, but an ugly game.
Ugly game.
I think Pittsburgh could bounce between, a week where they have a bunch of touchdowns, a bunch of points, and then a dogfight against a bad team. So I'll take the points.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers to win. I'll take the points as well. Something tells me the Steelers aren't going to be able to blow this team out, even though they should. But I don't think they're going to. It's going to be a sloppy, ugly game. It's going to be a division-like game for the Steelers, low scoring and ugly, so that's what I'll do.
Yeah, I think the Steelers blow them out. This is the MO for them, a young quarterback making his first start against Pittsburgh. Not too many guys are ready for that kind of heat, and I think Blaine Gabbert will show it. I'll lay the points.
Yeah, Pittsburgh wins. They're feeding off the worst schedule or easiest schedule in the NFL, but... So they get another win. Philadelphia at Washington, 1 o'clock game this Sunday.
Philadelphia, the 1-4 Eagles, are a road favorite by a singleton, 1 point.
Shocking.
It is somewhat surprising.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
I think it's surprising.
Yeah, I think
they should have just made this a pick.
Is someone hurt in Washington? Or?
I think they're just not that great a team.
People just continue to think that Philadelphia is good.
Yeah. I'm going to take Washington. I'll take them at home. I'm not going to buy you. I don't like a lot of people on the, or some people on the Eagles, and they're not playing well, so I'll just take the Washington Redskins.
Some people, you want to name names?
Mike Vick.
Okay. I don't like them either. But I'm going to pick them to win because, I don't know, I can't see them losing 5 straight. I just can't. And I think they're a better team in the long run than Washington, so I'll take the Eagles to win.
They have more talent.
And cover.
That does not mean they're a better team.
Paul. Correct. Yeah, thanks. I'll take Washington.
Me too, Washington. All right, now we move over to 4:05 on Sunday, Houston at Baltimore.
Ravens by 7.5.
Pretty good football game right there.
Texans without Andre Johnson, Mario Williams.
Mario Williams, yeah.
Arian Foster.
At a bit of a crossroads.
That's the difference.
I will take Baltimore. It's in Baltimore, you said?
Yeah. Correct, 7.5.
Yeah, I think they are the better, tougher football team, and I'll lay the points. This is not a game, even at full strength, I would feel good about picking the Texans in. And at less than full strength, I really don't feel good about it. So yeah. I will definitely lay them.
I agree. I will take the Ravens and the points.
Well, I'm going to lay them, too.
Here's that commercial again. The man's sailing a boat. It's a Viagra commercial. He's by himself on a boat.
Yep, Ravens as well. 4:05, Cleveland at Oakland.
Oakland by 6.5.
Oakland will win because they're the better football team. And Aaron Curry makes a difference, even though he doesn't play.
I'll take the Raiders, too. I like the Browns to stay close, though. I will take the points.
I'll do that as well.
Yeah, I'm going to split the difference as well. Let's see. 4:15, New Orleans at Tampa Bay. New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
New Orleans goes on the road and is favored by 4.5.
Over the Bucks, who laid an egg
Bucks
a week ago.
Sucks.
Yeah. They don't suck for luck. They just suck. So I will take New Orleans and Drew Brees.
Saints, big.
I will take New Orleans, but I will take the points. I think it'll be a field goal game.
I'll take the Saints outright. So I'll lay those
good
points.
Good, Fred.
Let's skip over the New England 4:15 game.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Okay.
All right. All right. We'll go to Sunday night, 8:20, Minnesota at Chicago.
Bears by 3.
So this is the battle of two star pass rushing defensive ends that NFL.com writers have said are coming to the Patriots, who will never come to the Patriots, as Jared Allen and Julius Peppers face off. I will take the Bears.
I'm sure that's the storyline. in Minnesota. Yeah, I mean, they'll play Chicago.
It up. The Sunday night intro will. That's what it
is. Is somebody else now saying Peppers to New England again?
No.
That was last year.
That was a done deal.
Chicago are complaining about him. They don't think he's having a very good season.
He hasn't produced the way they. Yeah.
People in Chicago are that moron Mike North on the overnight radio station when
we're
driving home.
Who I can't handle listening to because of his voice.
He talks fine.
He talks.
John, you have no radio expertise whatsoever because you don't speak like that. You have to learn how to talk, you know, completely indecipherable. You can't understand anything he says.
He's a.
I'll take the Bears, Paul.
What did you take?
The Bears.
Both ways.
Yeah, I will too. Chicago, both ways.
Yeah. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
And the Monday night game is Miami traveling to New Jersey to play the Jets.
Jets by 7.
Miami traveling to New Jersey to get beat up on by the Jets. This is their bounce back game, coming out party. If not, their season's over. But I fully expect them to beat up on the Dolphins.
But, yeah, I'll take the Jets, too, to win pretty easily. Double digits.
I think Andy's right. I think they put it all together and they take it out on Miami.
Right, and proves nothing.
Absolutely.
But it's
nothing.
True. They will beat Miami. All right, now we go back to Sunday, 4:15.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and,
I'm
you
with
see
you.
What I did there?
Yeah, we're back now.
Dallas travels to Foxborough to take on the Patriots.
Patriots by 7.
Patriots by 7.
I'm going to take the New England Patriots to win at home, because that's what they do at home. They win.
But not to cover.
That's a tough...
Backdoor.
I'm going to take them to cover, but I'm not feeling great about it. I think they'll win the football game. I'm scared of the Cowboys. They have talented playmakers. I'm scared of missed tackles on Felix Jones. I'm scared of Dez Bryant running down the field against McCourty. I am scared of Jason Witten over the middle of the field, who, by the way, yes, I do believe is better than Rob Gronkowski, who's my favorite
You're
tight
so
end.
You're so negative.
Well, people are mad at me because I had the audacity to say that a future Hall of Famer was better than Rob Gronkowski, who's barely in his second season.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
But I'm scared. I'm scared of DeMarcus Ware against whoever is at right tackle because they move him around, and I don't want to see him against Vollmer, who hasn't played in a while, or Solder, who's a rookie. I know he'll get help, but I still think the Patriots score enough points to win this game, and the Cowboys make whatever stupid mistake they need to make at the wrong time to lose the game.
I think the Patriots do win the game. They score a lot of points. The Cowboys score a lot of points, and the difference will be less than the spread, Paul. So I will take the Cowboys with the number.
I think, as I said earlier in the show, that the Patriots are a better football team than Dallas. I think over 16 games, they're far more consistent. That makes them better. However, talent-wise, I think they match up. I think they have a similar amount of talent, and I think Dallas is going to come in here and win the football game on Sunday because I think it's going to be one of those weeks where you're going to see the good Tony Romo. Yeah. And that's what it all comes down to. Yeah. If he doesn't turn the ball over, Dallas wins the game. Now, I'm going to pick Dallas, so if it doesn't happen this way, I'm just going to offer the following caveat. If they turn the ball over, the Patriots will blow them out. I think there's no in-between. The Patriots either win this game, I mean, Dallas either wins this game or get blown out. I don't think it's going to be,
or blow,
you know, a 31-27 cover for, you know, for Dallas backdoor cover or anything like that. I think they either win the game or get blown out. So I'm going to take Dallas, but I don't have a lot of faith in the pick. I'm afraid of a lot of things that Andy brought up.
Yeah, Dallas is a
bad spot, by the way, for the Patriots coming off that Jets game, heading to a bye, while Dallas is coming off a bye.
Dallas is less than the sum of its parts.
Yes.
You know?
Agreed. Totally agreed.
As a team. And I think the Patriots, you know, is the reason why Dallas just can't put it together. And that's why the Patriots are going to beat them at home and cover. So. All right. Well, that's it for the picks. John Rook is in for his final show this week. John, what do you got coming up?
Very nervous about this game, too. As you guys have already stated. It's. I think Dallas brings.
Well, you guys all. You all Paul just think said, they're going to cover.
I didn't. Yeah,
I took the. We took the Cowboys.
He took the Cowboys.
Oh, you took the Cowboys to cover. I'm sorry.
I hope you wrote that down correctly.
I did.
Now, did you take the Cowboys to cover?
Cover
or to win the game?
No, I took them to cover. To win the game.
You took them to win the game. Well, right now I'm thinking the Cowboys definitely cover the 7. I think 7 is just too high a number for me. I haven't really, honestly, have not decided if the Cowboys can win it because Tony Romo still makes me nervous.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's the complete and total X factor.
I mean, turnovers.
By the end of the show, I'll get off the fence and tell you who it's going to be, but I still have to sort of talk this thing through, to be honest with you.
I'm with John. The turnovers, you know, in terms of wanting the pick to, you know, as Andy says, I want my picks to be right. I don't have a ton of faith that Dallas won't turn it over. But if they don't, I think they win.
Since 2001, the Patriots are undefeated in regular season games in which they are favored more than 6 points.
And I will also say
I'm making that.
They've also won 17 straight against the NFC.
I will also say that
at home.
That was a good one, Fred.
The last 15 games the Patriots have played, they've been held under 30 points twice, and both times was by a Ryan brother. So
That's also
that's
good
another
one.
Factor.
That's
sure.
another huge factor. Rob Ryan,
I think
you got to
Rob
relish
Ryan
that
does have some idea of how to sort of I don't think he's going to shut
but
them
they know
down,
he
but
knows
slow
that they know
them
that
down.
He knows that they know that
exactly.
But he has DeMarcus Ware.
That's true. I mean, and you're scared of him.
I am. I think he's the best defensive player in football.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Stay tuned for John Rook and the playbook. And, of course, at 4 o'clock, it's Pete Shepard and the B-Lo with the lowdown and all your fantasy football needs. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Come to do the rest. Step in the way, multiple shots are going through your test. You must have gone past the target, boy. You was blessed. And I'm gonna take him out the game, y'all. It ain't no thing, y'all.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.